Only 300 left to go. If I can get just 500 monthly subscribers, every show will be offered completely commercial-free. And we only need 300 more subscribers. So please, go to airamericaplace.com, click donate, and help make it possible.
Mark Maron at 6 past the hour on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes, religious fanatics, scientists, the dumb, the sad, and the clueless. Good morning, all of you. All of you, welcome. You are all welcome here under the big umbrella of Morning Sedition here on Air America Radio. What a day, man. I'm filled with the fury already. I'm leaving my house, Mark Riley.
Yes. Good morning.
How are you?
I'm ready.
I'm just worked up. I'm pissed off. It's been a while. I mean, I sort of operate at a sort of kind of perpetual bubbling of pissedness. But man, I was leaving the house today, you know, in the middle of the night, watching a repeat of Larry King, watching Laura Bush, who I just, you know, I have contempt for. I can't stand looking at her. I can't stand her complacency and her weird loyalty to, you know, that there's nothing interesting about the woman. She's a visionless pawn of this, you know, religious fanatic moron that we have as president. And I'm not even saying that, you know what, I give him too much credit. Holy mackerel.
That's for
that,
Chris.
Caleb. That's the president's people.
Yeah, right. Look, Karen Hughes.
Say what you want about me, but leave my wife out of it.
But you know what it is with her? Let me tell you what it is with her. She could have divorced the drunk.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Back not that long ago, actually.
Right.
Their marriage was on the rocks.
Right, but then he had the religious conversion.
And then she probably stuck with him thinking, you know, maybe this guy can go somewhere. And look, he's in the stinking White House.
But somebody hit her over the head with a God bat as well, man, because she's got that vapid look in her eye. And there's something like, I want there to be something in there.
She's along for the ride.
Ugh, I don't know, man.
She's along for the ride.
I'm so worked up after reading that Susskind piece. We're going to talk to him in a couple hours. That's going to be in the New York Times Magazine on Sunday.
Oh yeah, that's
about
deep.
About empire, about Bush's faith. I mean, this guy is a religious fanatic, and it's disturbing.
Let me ask you something.
Disturbing. He's all full of the bully juice, and half of it is God juice, and that makes it even worse. A bully God juice combination is a hell of a cocktail to guide the country.
It's a dangerous thing. But what would have happened if Laura Bush had pulled the trigger on their marriage? Remember now, dealing with the Bush family.
But he would have just, you know, sort of plowed into being the failure that he is.
But what would have happened to her? See, you got to look at it from her perspective.
But eventually, you know, Kitty Kelly would have talked to her.
If there had been anything bad to say about this guy, she knew. Or, for example, if she made too much stink about a settlement, or if she was asking for too much money, look at what they did to the other one's wife.
They would have Jim Baker come in and sell things, just like, you know, he's trying to do in Kuwait, playing both sides of that coin. We're gonna talk about that. But I get so, after I read that Susskind piece, because this is something that's close to my heart, is the religious fanatic element of this country, the sort of weird, delusionary, vapid, you know, kind of commitment that religious fanatics. I'm not even going to say Christians, because I don't want to get real Christians upset. I'm talking about, you know, fraudulent, sort of wide-eyed, you know, delusionary people that need religion so deeply that they can no longer see any reality. And that he's pandering to them. And what you see in that Susskind piece, and what you see in most indications from how he deals in certain audiences, you know, versus his religious base, is that he's onto it. Like, he is a cipher. He has learned these tricks. He's a con man. You know, he'll get in front of a religious group and put on the bully juice, the bully God juice, and all that faith and all that talk, and he'll act like he's preaching, and he'll use biblical wording, and he'll make those people feel like they are represented. And then he'll go into a, you know, a room full of billionaires and mock, you know, his religious base and condescend to them and play completely to the billionaires. You see some of that in Fahrenheit 9/11.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so this guy's got a racket going.
But you know what? The Susskind piece made me think, for some unexplained reason, of Carlos Castaneda. Because Carlos Castaneda, you know, liked to deal in alternate realities under certain circumstances, obviously.
Right.
But an alternate reality. And the Susskind piece, there was something, that, and we just talked about it before we went on the air, that just really hit me over the head, was the notion that these folks believe that they can create reality as they go along, and anyone who is not down with that creation is doomed to simply study that creation.
Well, that's extraordinary.
Well, that's the weird, strange thing about totalitarianism is that, you know, once you create the myth and put it into place, that the reality becomes, you know, the context of reality is anyone's perception. If you guide the perception of the majority of the populace and the rest of them are sort of marginalized, then that becomes a reality, even if it you know, sort of conflicts completely with truth, with the reality that really is.
Think he ever did acid?
No, let me not go there.
I'm beginning to... I mean, look, when I read this piece by Susskind, the first thing I started thinking about was the guy's been doing mushrooms or something, or the people around him have.
No, I think that, you know, what you had here, you know, it's just a classic case of a guy who was floundering. You know, there were a lot of expectations, you know, on him, you know, in terms of, you know, the family he came from and everything else, you know, that he had to do something. But the truth of the matter is, he would have been fine if he hadn't done anything. He could have just been one of these trust fund wastoids, you know, who would have just, you know, kind of pummeled through life and you know, failed at everything. But, you know, somehow his father stepped in. He had become, you know, the thing in the Susskind piece, and it's going to really make people mad, because you can't read this thing until Sunday. You want to get that again, Chris? Apparently, it's the...
Well, I guess that happened.
Don't get mad. Is that just like a caller calling in? Is that a hotline? Is that a... You tell Marin to shut up. We're on to him. The phone in the studio just rings, and it's never rung before, ever. And here I am talking about these things, not unlike I talk about on any other day, but I'm saying, that's it. He messed with my wife. Now he's talking about God. He's done. I would get out of the studio, Kalo, all right? Because we like you.
Something tells me when Ramon delivers the Palm Pilot later, there will be a time to deal with Marin.
But what was I saying? Oh, the Susskind piece will be out on Sunday.
Yeah.
And it just reinforces that, you know, what we're dealing with here. What scared me the most was that not only is Bush a religious fanatic and narrow-minded and unwilling to investigate things, you know, to find out what's really going on. And that upsets a lot of the Senate as well and all these people that are in contact with him. But there becomes a culture around him, his inner circle.
Yeah.
You know, they follow his lead. That, you know, I was under the impression that, you know, maybe he was being operated, but there's a lot of them that are just sort of like, you know, have faith. You know, this guy is going to stay steadfast. He's going to stay stubborn in the face of the facts and just plow on. And that, you know, so he can try and create this reality, this religious empire.
And it's amazing to me that guys like Colin Powell, who has, I think, his own very strong sense of reality tempered by his military service.
Yeah.
When asked whether or not he wanted to get on the roller coaster or stay down bottom and watch everybody else ride it,
right,
decided to get on the coaster with all the rest of these people. That's amazing to me.
But there's a culture of people worried for their own asses in Washington, that they're worried about their own careers. They're constantly worried about, they think in terms of like, well, when this administration is gone, you know, where am I going to be? How am I going to be situated?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they really think in terms of that. Whereas people like me, you know, just reactionary idiots who fly off the handle at everything, even if I'm misinformed about it, you know, I don't think in a political sense. I'm thinking in terms of like, I think this guy could end the world, or that I could end up in some sort of, you know.
Gulag.
Yeah, some sort of gulag. There it goes again. This is tremendous.
Hey.
We're in big trouble.
Wow.
Yeah, I could end up in some gulag where, you know, I wouldn't even be, you know, have access to a coffee shop or an internet line. You know, to me, you know, it's just horrifying. You know, how am I going to get the type of information I need? But what I was saying is about this. Oh, so he was this floundering failure that had a certain amount of charisma and talent that his father called in Billy Graham, called in the great brainwasher of millions of people that has been used to help brainwash people for many presidents.
Yes.
And said, I want you to spend 2 days with my son. Come on up to Maine and sit down with this kid. He's at the end of his rope. He's hitting bottom. He's vulnerable. Reprogram him so he has some focus in his life.
And that's what he did. Yeah.
And now they've reinforced that program with some sort of strange electronic pack that inserts into a socket onto his back, which you could see on his in the pictures.
So you copped to that now, huh?
Yeah, no, but it's not a transmitter. It's literally the controls of his brain.
The control center.
Yes, that's what I think. So we've got things to talk about.
More than one thing to talk. We got to talk about James Baker.
Well, we're going to do that.
He's an interesting character in and of himself.
And Dick Cheney, apparently, you know, completely, he's...
When you create your own reality, you can contradict yourself with ease.
Exactly. 15 past the hour. We'll talk about that in a minute on Air America Radio.
This is Al Franken, the host of the Al Franken Show on Air America Radio. For the last 6 months, we've been doing 3 hours a day of cutting-edge radio programming. We've had guests like Bill Clinton, John Kerry, and Strom Thurmond.
The pecker. It knows no bigotry.
We've covered events like the handover of power in Iraq. We've explained difficult concepts like the growing national debt using nothing more than an ordinary slide whistle. Now we're presenting our show in a convenient, easy-to-use, one-hour version every night on Sundance Channel. Finally, you'll be able to see what we're talking about. Right, Strom?
That's right, Al. How do we all see?
Tune in every night at 11:30 on Sundance Channel for the Al Franken Show. And if you don't get Sundance Channel, go to their website, sundancechannel.com. Al and Sundance Channel. Together again.
If you're looking to save big this year on a high-quality steel structure from Allied Steel, call 877-99-STEEL. You still have time to add that much-needed workshop, retail, or church space before winter arrives. And our most popular sizes are priced for quick delivery. Get a 40x60 structure for under $18,000 or a 50x100 for under $32,000. Whatever size you need, Allied Steel will answer all of your questions and explain why our structures are the best and most affordable option. Call Allied Steel at 877-99-STEEL.
Larry King here to tell you I'm getting more from my vitamin C. I'm getting the advanced protection of Ester C. Advanced because Ester C is the only vitamin C with metabolites. Advanced because it's already in a form my body can use. So do what I do and get more from your vitamin C. Take Ester C. E-S-T-E-R-C. Are you getting advanced protection from your vitamin C?
Look for Ester C and now new Ester E, where fine vitamins are sold.
Rolling Stone in college football, NFL, the Weather Channel, BBC, it's getting late, it's Stephen, the cheese at the gate, the Squid TV, the Music Box, commercial free discovery, MLB and Patriot with left and right to call the shots, Matt's infection, John McMullen, Laura Ingram, Michael Reagan, Alex Bennett, Frank the Factor, Traffic, Savage, Hazen Fire, Randy Rose, and NPR, there's comedy and all the stars.
Life is a rock, but the radio roll me. Turn your serious louder, so my DJ told.
How is parenting like Major League Baseball? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Pro baseball starts its playoffs tomorrow. It was a challenging road for all of the teams who made it. You see, major leaguers play more than 160 games a year. Parenting has a long season, too. Day in and day out, you have to come ready to work. If you get discouraged and feel like you're on a losing streak with your kids, adjust your strategy. We can help. For a free 9-inning parenting coaching plan, visit FamilyMinute.net. Go for the win. And remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. If you'd like to get today's Family Minute offer, visit our website, FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or give us a call at 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
What's up with the sink?
Somebody left it on.
It's been running all day.
Really?
Yeah, I've been in here, what, 3 times since this morning? Still going.
Okay, that is so not cool.
What's not cool?
Look at the faucet.
Oh.
How long has it been like this?
At least since this morning.
What do you guys think? Someone just washed their hands, left it on, and then, like, walked off?
I guess.
That's so weird.
How do you just leave on a faucet?
It's kind of bizarre.
Should we do something?
We should tell somebody.
We can even know.
You guys weren't using this, were you?
Not us.
Nope.
No.
Don't just take a stand. Act. The most powerful way is to register and vote. It's ridiculously simple. Log on to registerandvote2004.org and take action. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ag Council.
In today's world, all voices must be heard. That's why our local Optimist Club sponsors an oratorical contest for local young people. The contest lets kids gain experience in public speaking.
If I could change the world.
It inspires today's youth to motivate and inform others through the art of public speaking. And it gives them an opportunity to compete for college scholarships. The Optimist Oratorical Contest.
You can make a difference, too.
Bringing out the best in kids.
Nice. I love this record. What happened to these guys? 21 past the hour. It's morning's edition. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Good morning.
Oh, this was a great record. I listened to the hell out of that Faith No More record. Man, did I listen to that record. All right, here's some registration deadlines, voter registration deadlines in swing states. Today, deadline in West Virginia. Go do it where you can do it, where you know the people that you're dealing with is legitimate. There was some problem in Nevada. Some Karl Rove dispatched operatives are registering people and throwing out Democratic votes.
Yeah.
Democratic registrations, we're going to talk about that a little later. I'm all jammed on M&M's, man. It's been a crazy day. I went to see Team America yesterday. I got my cats high on catnip.
Really?
Oh, yeah, it's hilarious.
Did they dance?
Oh, they dance. They roll around in it. My wife was like, how much can we give them? Is there too much? I'm like, no, it's not pot. You know, like, there's like, yeah, be careful because they might not be able to drive properly. October 20th in Wisconsin is the deadline. Okay, October 23rd for Iowa and New Hampshire. And New Hampshire will not accept national voter registration forms. If you can do this through the, I swear to God, through the state somehow, which even there, you know, that's barely trustable given the Republican power right now, but do it. Get it done. The voter registration turnout has been remarkable, and it's a great and important thing. November 2nd, you can vote right. You can register right there in Maine on the day and go ahead and vote on the same day, which is good news. What else do I have to tell you? Dan Pashman, son of Lewis and Linda Pashman, has Pashman Picks, which you can go to at morningsedition.com. He sort of picks through the news and picks through this and that, and I'm sure there's a Bruce Springsteen information, updated song lists. And,
extensive.
Yeah, and of
Bruce
course,
Springsteen
it's the hot pop news. You can go to morningsedition.com to blog with the ever-growing blog community and get to know who's in charge there. And, of course, I will be at the Mohegan Sun Casino in Connecticut. Appearing with me will not be George Bush or Dick Cheney, who appeared, where was it?
Oh, those aren't the two young guys who were driving you up?
Wouldn't that be hilarious?
Yeah, right.
The surprise opening. Guess who's opening? Here's, it's Osama bin Laden, ladies and gentlemen. Vice President Dick Cheney, apparently still trying to, this thing is so twisted and so wrong that they could take the Dulfer report and actually spin something out of it they think is positive about their administration. That what they've basically done is they get, what they get from the Dulfer report is that Saddam Hussein had hopes that someday he might be able to thwart UN sanctions enough to restart his diminishing weapons of mass destruction program.
Do we have high hopes here somewhere? I mean,
but all they could get out of it is intent, yet they're spinning that into a justification. Of course the guy wanted, you know, nuclear weapons, but he didn't have them. The sanctions were working. He didn't have, the means to do it. But now they're trying to take the original idea, which is that they have them, and they're a threat to the world. And now they're trying to spin a report that basically says they were wrong into saying, well, we were justified. He had ideas.
We had probable cause to believe he was going to develop them, so therefore it was okay to invent.
1,083 Americans are dead because he had ideas.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
And see, now, Saddam never made any bones about the fact that he wanted the sanctions lifted. He had gone to virtually everyone, including the United States government, through back channels trying to get these sanctions lifted. This is no secret. No one can say that they didn't know he was trying to do this. No one can say that they didn't know he was trying to circumvent him whenever he could. Mm-hmm. That's what, you know, people who run countries, right or wrong, try to do when someone imposes that. Does somebody think Castro's just sitting down there twiddling his thumbs in Cuba saying, well, gee, we got sanctions, but and there's an embargo, but that's okay.
Right, like he's sitting down there thinking, like, oh, soon I will retire.
Yeah, you know, I'll give it over to one of my cousins. Well, no, the bottom line is if you are being hurt by sanctions, you will always try and circumvent sanctions. That's not a secret to anybody. That doesn't mean that you were trying to circumvent sanctions so that you could develop a nuclear device. That's a great leap as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, absolutely. And the quote that we have from Cheney is that, quote, the situation was
Saddam Hussein and Iraq presented the most likely place where there could be a nexus between the terrorists on the one hand and weapons of mass destruction on the other. See, this is some, see, he's like rephrasing the connection between, originally he would say that Iraq and terrorism was connected. There was a connection which justified the war. Now he's saying that, you know, what exactly is he saying? That there could have been, the truth of the matter is what contradicts that statement is that now it is a teeming sort of, you know, capital of potential terrorist activity. And now that they went in unilaterally, as of yesterday, they don't know where a lot of nuclear material is. It disappeared. The Americans don't know where it is, and the Iraqis don't know where it is. So what he's talking about maybe happening if they hadn't gone in is happening because they did go in.
Exactly. And see, Bush himself understood all this. Back in February, he acknowledged the WMDs on in Iraq, and he even speculated about where and how they disappeared. Let's go to that sound.
They could have been destroyed during the war. Saddam and his henchmen could have destroyed them as we enter into Iraq. They could be hidden. They could have been transported to another country.
Sounds pretty certain, doesn't he?
It's mind-blowing to me, Riley. I'm worked up, you know, today, and I don't have the sort of tact that I usually have in my...
Oh, you have tact usually?
A little bit.
Okay.
A little bit. Yeah, most of the time I can find some sense of humor in a lot of things. But this kind of thinking, I find it so baffling and offensive. And the only hope that I have right now is that, you know, his approval rating is slipping, which
yeah.
makes me... You know,
which is a good thing.
I'm completely frightened of theocratic fascists, and I'm completely frightened of the bending of reality that they're trying to do in the brains of people who are ill-informed and unwilling to accept the truth about the situation globally.
Now, what did Bush do when confronted with an enemy? What does he say he does? He went on the offensive. Maybe you should do that.
Go on the offensive?
Go on the offensive.
I'm already too angry. I'm already having
but,
my
But you can't let your anger get in the way of slicing someone up like... You know.
Oh, no, I don't. And I'm doing Tough Crowd later, and hopefully I can, you know, take a little bit of this out on Colin. But... But this is the other quote from Cheney. Because of the potential that Iraq could have served as a conduit for such weapons. But the truth of the matter is that since we've gone in there, it's been proven that terrorism has risen around the world, that, you know, that Al-Qaeda connections are being made in Iraq that weren't there before, and that all this nuclear material is now missing. And that is clear that, you know, what he is saying is completely weird and delusionary, and he's speaking to uninformed people with a certain type of confidence, and he's using their lack of their lack of desire to educate themselves about what's really going on and look at it in a proper perspective to exploit that and constantly justify this false premise.
See, this has baffled people. It's baffled us. It's baffled a lot of Democrats. It's baffled progressives generally. How do people go for all this? Later this morning, Ron Suskind, author, he did the Paul O'Neill book.
Yes.
He's got a cover story in the New York Times. He will sort this out for us, as well as talk about the debate a little bit. That's
fear,
later on this morning.
Fear.
But coming up next, the president's Palm Pilot. I think I hear Ramon.
Yeah.
The liberal agenda. And there's some voter registration sabotage going on. We're going to get to the bottom of it when we come back here on Air America Radio.
Outbreak, Mortal Fear, Coma. These blockbuster books made Robin Cook the master of the medical thriller. Now, he returns with Seizure, the heart-pounding bestseller ripped from today's headlines. When a researcher develops a method to alter DNA using stem cells, one man receives treatment with terrifying results. Critics call Seizure infectious and chilling. Get your pulse racing. Read Seizure by Robin Cook, now at Berkeley Paperback.
What if I told you that you could get cash back from your federal student loans? No, really. You can receive up to $1,000 cash rebate just for making your first 6 payments on time. Introducing College Loan Corporation's Reward. Now you can save up to 50% on your monthly payments, lock in the lowest interest rates in history, and you may be able to earn a significant rebate. That's cold hard cash in your pocket. To take advantage of this amazing offer, call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
Baseball and radio, they were like old friends.
Yogi Berra, remembering how back in the 40s he'd listen to hear baseball greats like Joe DiMaggio and Jackie Robinson on the radio.
This is Bill Stern with a cold game.
Listen, DiMaggio, did you knock this baseball from my window?
Yeah, what about it?
Will you autograph it for me, please?
Here we are in New York. I flew in to see the World Series. We observed one minute silence over Cleveland.
Now, Yogi presents his favorite baseball radio shows.
I picked up the ones that remind me of how baseball and radio teamed up.
Weekdays at noon and 8 p.m. Eastern on Sirius Radio Classics 133.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Cars can be as mystifying as the Dead Sea Scrolls, but a little ingenuity can decode the hieroglyphics. When I come back, we'll walk like an Egyptian and talk about torque.
Oil is oil. Don't kid yourself. Technology makes better oils possible, like Royal Purple. Royal Purple reduces friction and increases film strength. Go to royalpurple.com and you'll find independent test results from North Carolina and Oklahoma State. Not hype, just facts. What's in it for you? Superior protection, fewer oil changes, more horsepower, torque, and better gas mileage. Find Royal Purple at great stores like Pep Boys, your local high-performance center, and royalpurple.com today.
Ancient Egyptians used slaves to build pyramids, but we'll use them to illustrate torque, the force that pushes your car. When a driver presses the gas pedal, the engine propels the car a certain distance per engine revolution. That's torque. It's measured in feet per pound, and just like slaves muscling stones, the more torque pushing a car, the farther and easier it moves. For that intense seat-of-the-pants sensation, check out the torque-to-vehicle-weight ratio before buying your next chariot. Car. And tune in tomorrow for a trip to Bonnie Scotland, where we'll pony up the definition of horsepower. Brought to you by Royal Purple Synthetic Oil, the performance oil that outperforms.
This is Dave from the Dave Matthews Band for Rad.
Where do you go?
When you go out and party, get drunk, then drive, you're not only loaded, you're a loaded weapon. When you celebrate, designate. Choose a designated driver. Remember, music lives, and so should you.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Where do you go?
All right, your 4 years old son, ready for the big leagues. Put your bat on, buddy. There you go, helmet.
Silly helmet.
Okay, that's right, with thigh guards. Now don't forget your mouth guard. You don't want to be losing teeth in your first game. Well, they're baby teeth, but yeah, put it in it.
But Daddy.
Don't let them worry you. They may be over 200 pounds and kind of mean looking, but you're ready for them. Just run through them. Here's the ball. Run!
Daddy?
Don't look at me. Run with it. Go, boy, run!
But I could get hurt.
No pain, no gain. Now run!
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult, so why put them in adult seatbelts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
Ah, you should have straight-armed them.
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Optimist volunteers serve as leaders, mentors, and friends to help kids achieve a more positive and productive life in 3,600 communities and 19 countries. This year, Optimists will raise and invest over $80 million in 60,000 community service projects that help 6 million children and teens. Optimists have been bringing out the best in kids for nearly 100 years. For the location of your nearest Optimist Club, call 1-800-500-8130.
Dude, that messenger looks high. That guy just brought this palm pilot in. I guess Ramon's in Arizona. But that dude wasn't like a FedEx guy or anything. It's 34 past the hour. Mark Maron, that's Mark Riley.
Good morning.
Nice to see you, man.
Good
that
to
guy
see you, man.
He was one of those scary high guys like, what? What do you need? And then he hands you
something. I'll have it back before the show's over.
Yeah, I mean, what was that? What was that about? Were you uncomfortable, Kayla?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Oh.
All right. Well, here's the presidential schedule. Thank God he got it to us from the presidential palm pilot. 4 a.m. Debate day. Wake up in Phoenix. Sheets damp with sweat. Note: must score coke. Must score coke. Must score coke. Call Ramon. Ramon is on the way. 5 a.m. Ramon comes. Thank you, Jesus. Note: remember to appoint Ramon ambassador to Ecuador. 5:15 a.m. Party.
Now I'm king of the world. Kings don't debate. Lord Carey, I banish thee to the outer wastelands. May the desert birds pick at your bleached bones. 6 a.m. Tie Carey the bait dummy to chair. Threaten him with lighter. How about a little fire, Scarecrow? 8 a.m. Burst into meeting of campaign advisors. Loud we announce intention to someday tap Karen Hughes's ass, yo. And then smack that bad boy. 8:30 a.m. One-on-one with Karl Rove. Accuses him of thinking he's smarter than me. Lunge across table. Attempt to bite his ear off. 8:32 a.m. Subdued by Secret Service. Breathe. Must remember to breathe. 8:34 a.m. to 1 p.m. Sob with head in Condoleezza's lap. Listen to soothing talking points to calm down. 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. Stare out window at nothing. Note, people are happy somewhere. Why does it matter what I say? Stupid Iraq. Stupid unemployment. Stupid Kerry. 9 p.m. Third presidential debate, Arizona State University. Switch on autopilot. Let it happen. I'm not here. 10:50 p.m. Participate in debate. Watch party. Phoenix. Note. Spin Karen. Spin Carl. Spin, spin, spin. Midnight. Bedtime. Think happy thought. Ah, nothing but boilerplate speeches and attack ads from here on out. And, of course, the surprise.
The surprise.
The surprise. Man, what? Satan is here. I knew it. In the late 80s, I knew it. In the midst of my delusional psychosis, my paranoid conspiratorial ramblings, when I lived in an attic in Somerville, I had a picture in my notebook that I cut out of a newspaper of James Baker III, and I drew scales on him and put a snake's tongue coming out of him and wrote underneath it, "The real Satan." And this was in the middle of a delusionary time, and I think that I might have been right because Clutch Larson, our producer, had a dream at some point where Baker had horns. He is the true beast of many heads. And I don't believe Revelations, but if there is any truth to it, this administration is the beast. It is not the opposite. Clearly, somebody of true faith is somebody who weighs things out, who looks at things with a certain amount of humility. This is not that president. This is an aspiring emperor about to do something really awful. And one of these things is use James Baker in a dual role, which contradicts each other. Bad, illegal stuff. Explain it to me.
Well, see, Baker, first of all, I didn't think he was that evil a person when he was Secretary of State.
I was wrong.
I'll admit I was wrong. I, for some reason, Secretaries of State don't come across as overtly evil. Because I didn't think Kissinger was that bad until I realized what he had done.
They're quiet. They're like snakes. They just sit there and they're like, even like Dick Cheney, these are people that sit there and literally use the world as their strange game board while the front man, the dummy, gets out there and placates the idiots.
All right. Now let's talk about Baker's game. Okay. Baker, among other things, is a special presidential envoy. He was appointed last December. His job is to talk other countries into forgiving Iraq's debt. And Iraq owes something on the order of $200 billion to different countries around the world. Some of that is outstanding debt. Some of that is war reparations, going back, in fact, to the first Persian Gulf War.
So after George Bush unilaterally decides to go into Iraq and make a huge mess, he says, look, James, you got to go out to these other people and say there's no way they're getting their money back. I mean, look, it's a mess.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Now, his other role is as senior counselor and equity partner in the notorious Carlyle Group, which is a merchant bank and defense contractor with Middle East interests that are at the very least in conflict with U.S. goals as far as restructuring or forgiving Iraq's debt is concerned.
George H.W. Bush was one of the advisors. John Major, the ex-prime minister of Britain, one of the advisors.
Yeah. Now,
one thing. George W. Bush actually worked in one of their smaller subsidiaries, an air catering firm, on the board of an airline catering firm. He couldn't even cut the mustard there. They're like, we got to cut you loose. You're not doing much. He's like, yeah, well, the hell with you. I'm going to be governor.
Yeah, see ya.
And he was.
All right, The Nation, The Nation's Naomi Klein, in fact, reports in their November 1st issue that a private consortium that includes the Carlyle Group and the Albright Group, founded by former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright, has been pursuing a deal with Kuwait that works a little bit like this. They went to the Kuwaitis and said, look, you've got no hope of collecting this $57 billion, $30 billion in debt, $27 billion in war reparations that Iraq now owes you. But if you want to get any of it, we can help. Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
So they now are pitching to the Kuwaitis a deal that would have that debt transferred to a foundation that is actually comprised of the Carlyle Group and the Albright Group.
All right, so let me get this through my head. So basically, James Baker, his job is to have the debt that Iraq owes any other country in the world. He wants to get those countries to forgive that debt and say they're not getting their money back.
Cool. Exactly.
So he goes with the Carlyle Group and Madeleine Albright, who apparently is evil as well, to Kuwait and says, look, you know, we can cut a deal with you. You pay us a little money,
that's
and we'll
right.
open up a bank account, and we'll go out and lobby on your behalf to get the rest of the countries of the world to allow your debt to be repaid and theirs not to be repaid. This is some serious wheel greasing they got to do. But how much are they getting for that wheel greasing?
Well, what they're talking about now is, first of all, they're getting 5% off the top of anything they do collect, which is true, you know. I mean, that's kind of like gangster stuff.
But right out of the gate, it's $2 billion, right?
Yeah, right out of the gate, it's $2 billion. They're trying to convince the Kuwaitis,
chump change,
yeah, to invest $2 billion in a consortium equity fund. Mm. The consortium would lobby foreign countries to adopt the position which is the mirror opposite of what Baker is supposed to be doing for the United States. In other words, to maximize the debt payments to Kuwait.
He wears a different hat.
He's somewhat like, different.
This is the other James Baker, the diplomat.
Yeah.
Not the evil lawyer.
Long story short, Baker's job for the government is to lobby for debt forgiveness, but he stands to benefit financially if the debt is paid. Now, that is a classic conflict of interest.
Right, but let's talk about the money, too, Riley. I mean, you know, he's got a $180 million stake in the Carlyle Group personally. I mean,
yes.
This guy, you know, is a global player in terms of how much money he has. I don't know why we never got numbers. I'm going to look into this on my own today, just how much the Bush family is worth, really, you know, in terms of investments and how vested they are in this planet and how much are they really worth, because you don't see them in the Forbes 500, but you know that they're there. You know.
Oh, yeah, they're there.
And the sick thing about James Baker, on top of other things, is like, you know, he is one of Iraq's biggest creditors. Saudi Arabia. Okay, Saudi Arabia therefore has a financial interest in rejecting debt forgiveness for Iraq. Fine. Saudi Arabia does extensive business with the Carlyle Group. Fine. But Saudi Arabia is also being defended by Baker's law firm, Baker Botts, in a lawsuit filed by 9/11 victims' kin who are seeking $1 million. So he's not only is this a triple. Well, I'm sorry, $1 trillion. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You know, when you're talking these little numbers.
Trillion with a T.
$1 trillion. Also, delusionary, not a word. I made it up, but it's a new word for me. It's somebody who has delusion, but yet is visionary.
Delusionary.
I am a delusionary.
Okay.
Like, you know, I'm slightly delusional, but I have vision. All right, here we go. But getting back to that. So let me repeat that. James Baker's law firm, Baker Botts, in a lawsuit, he's defending Saudi Arabia in a lawsuit against 9/11 victims' kin who are seeking $1 trillion. He is also the envoy to, you know, try to get other countries around the world to forgive their debt to Iraq, but he's being paid as a lawyer and representative of the Carlyle Group $2 billion by Kuwaiti to grease the wheels to get them their money back, which he's going to take 5% off the top of through his Carlyle Group.
Absolutely. And here's a telltale thing. Remember that Baker is also the person that has been negotiating the terms of the three presidential debates. You know how many statements he's made on forgiving?
Oh, my God, it's creeping me out. And Saudi Arabia wants his money. This is like a triangulation of evil. 666 is the mark of the baker. There's no doubt about it. That's right. He defined the terms of the debate. And it's him, man.
No,
it's
but think
him.
About think about this for a second. Think about this for a second. Since he came back from the Middle East back in January, Baker has issued only two public statements on Iraq's debt, and he hasn't said a word for the past 6 months. Why do you think that might be?
I don't know, man. It's because he's the beast.
Because he's backdooring the lining of his own pocket. That's why.
Oh, my God. I can't even deal with it. We got to go, man. I'm freaking out. 44 past the hour, Air America Radio.
The Iraq war has become such a mess that even U.S. soldiers are speaking out against it. Mother Jones reports in its new issue that 54% of military households now oppose the war and that the GI Rights Hotline gets thousands of calls a month from soldiers who want to leave the military. Marine Mike Hoffman started Iraq Veterans Against the War after deciding he'd been lied to by the administration while thousands of soldiers died. Staff Sergeant Jimmy Massey, a Marine since 1992, started speaking out against the bloodshed after his unit killed 30 civilians in 2 days for misunderstanding hand signals at roadblocks. Now back at home, he protests with a sign that says, "I killed innocent civilians for our government." Some soldiers are now fleeing to Canada to seek refugee status. As one military leader critical of the war puts it, "The most basic tool a soldier needs on the field is a reason to be there." Unfortunately, this tool was left out of their toolkit, and soldiers are dying for a war they can't support. This has been a Mother Jones Minute.
Planet Check.
World-renowned reggae artist Pato Banton talks about Mama Nature.
The first track, Mama Nature, speaks for itself, really. The birds and bees, the plants and trees, the way that the leaders are treating the planet. For me, being aware and making people aware of the necessity to take care of the planet we live on is just as important as taking care of the house that you live in.
Pato talks about corporate responsibility.
I think there has to be a balance between the principles that major companies have and a balance between that and the profit margin that they need to gain to sustain themselves as a major company. But they have to tilt the scales in the direction of caring for this planet.
Words of wisdom from Pato Banton. That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Cliff Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at cliffbar.com.
We wanted to play you a clip from Sirius Raw Dog's new show, Right Between the Ears, but, well, the show's live, and it starts Saturday, so we don't have anything to play. So we thought we'd improvise.
Two dyslexics walk into a bra! Bra! Dyslexics, get it?
Well, we promise it'll be a lot funnier than that. Right Between the Ears, this Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern, Sirius Raw Dog 147, comedy uncensored.
Are you spending more and more time protecting your home? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Bad stuff is invading our homes at warp speed. Pornographic emails, sleazy magazines, and trashy reality TV shows. And my wife and I are spending a lot of time guarding our children's hearts and minds from it. How? First, we do our best not to do things we don't want our kids doing. Second, we educate our children on what they can and cannot watch, read, and listen to, and why. Third, we constantly teach our children to learn to discern what is right and wrong, good and bad, in everything that reaches their eyes and ears. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Ever seen a hornet, Shelly?
No, ma'am.
Oh, well, you're five. What are you waiting for? They've built a nest outside your window. See?
No.
You will when you climb 15 feet up this ladder to get rid of them. Take this insecticide and broom and send those stinging meanies packing.
What if I fall? I could get hurt.
Oh, you know about gravity already. You're so smart. Oh, go, 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 go. The hornets are waiting.
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult, so why put them in adult seat belts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
I can't see! Are they biting me?
Oh, that's so cute. No, honey, hornets don't bite, silly. They sting.
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA. Basketball great Charles Barkley.
I got a little pop quiz for you. What do I have a hard time keeping shut? And what is my nickname? And now I got one for you. Do you know your kid's principal's nickname?
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school. And know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
What do you call multiple triangulations, man? I mean, that's that James Baker stuff. 666, the mark of the baker. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Good morning.
You're listening to the Morning's Edition. So if you have five triangulations that are evil...
That's 15.
Okay, right, exactly. If you have five triangulations, okay, and then you put them on the sides of a pentagon, of a pentagram, right? Then you and you turn it upside down. It's the five-pointed star, which is a sign of the beast. I'm doing the math here.
Okay, all right.
I'm just trying to make sense of things. You know, where I take facts that are hard to understand and wrap my brain around, make geometric figures that really don't mean anything to me, but yet are on a mythic level, are archetypes of the ultimate evil, and I write and put them on the paper. See, if you see this piece of paper, you know me. I'm not a doodler. I don't doodle during the show, but this is what I do. And if something were weird to happen to me, like now, if I was and just like start coughing and blood spraying out of my nose and fell down on the floor, you would look at this piece of paper right here and go, dude, there is something out there.
One thing you need to know about a sign next to James Baker's name, and that's the dollar sign. He is in serious pursuit of money for himself. That $180 million equity stake he has in Carlyle will be probably worth about $250 million if this deal goes
through. Right. These numbers are always skewered, too. Skewered.
Skewered.
Remember,
there you go.
That's my thing. You want to say skewed, that's fine. I'm saying that they're skewered with the stake of Satan. All right? That's what I'm saying. That this is a satanic shish kebab of numbers.
That's right. Skewered and delusionary.
I'm a delusionary who sees skewered numbers. And if that's not a vision, I don't know what the hell to tell you. All right, now I've got some facts. This is fake anger. Thank God we got to the tone of the, you know, where I can mock my own anger, because I don't want to sound like Cedar. Do you understand? I don't want to start Cedaring and just be like, hey, you know what's going on here? You know what's going on here is that these people are going to get their facts wrong, and I'm going to get my facts wrong because I've got the books in front of me, but I'm not looking at the books. All I can tell you is that Halliburton is, you know what I'm saying, don't you, Janine, that there are people that live in this country. Some people live in Colorado, other people live in Maine, and some of those people are wrong.
Who's next, Mike Malloy? it's not Mike.
We had a great time on the road. I threw my voice out doing Cedar. But anyways, you know, doing impressions of people on this network is a sign of love. It's not a sign of mocking. It's not that we're not on the same team. People, it's so funny how people respond to that stuff. They're like, hey, do we have to get angry at our own? Yes. Yes, we have to get angry at our own because, you know what? The anger that we feel towards the other guys doesn't seem to dent them sometimes because they've got people that will spit. We're going to talk to Lawton later. From Bush World.
Lawton Smalls?
Yeah, now I'm doing Frank and Timing from Planet Bush. We've got Lawton Smalls who's going to talk to us. Okay, and we're going to, he doesn't say okay, though. He's going to talk to us, and we're going to talk to him. All right, but here's the real deal. This is another thing that just got my blood boiling today. How am I going to have energy for the next 2 hours? If I'm this is what I do. Ramon's coming?
Ramon's coming.
He's flying back.
He's taking care of the president.
Air Freight, Ecuador Airlines. He's coming back. Okay, employees, dig this. This is heinous. Riley, I don't even know if I can talk about it. Employees of a private voter registration company allege that hundreds, perhaps thousands of voters who may think they are registered will be rudely surprised on election day. The company claims hundreds of registration forms were thrown in the trash. Which forms? The Democratic forms. People who registered Democrats, okay? This is a company called Voter Outreach of America.
Yeah,
okay?
Now this is the work on this was done by the I-team at Channel 8 Eyewitness News in Nevada.
Thank God for them. All right, they're gambling with their license by doing this, because this is clearly a demonic subsidiary of the Rove brain. That this is not just someone didn't just have an idea to say, you know what, let's go register voters and throw away the Democratic votes, you know, the Democratic registrations. Oh my God. Two foreign workers say they personally witnessed company supervisors rip up and trash registration forms signed by Democrats. Quote, we caught her taking Democrats out of my pile, handed them to her assistant, and he ripped them up right in front of us. I grabbed some of them out of the garbage, and she tells her assistant to get those for me. End quote. This is Eric Russell, former Voters Outreach employees. So this was an operation. A legitimate business, apparently,
I don't know about that.
Well, not a legitimate business, maybe a group, an organization that set out to register voters and literally took Democratic registrations and threw them away.
And ripped them up. Now, this was called Voters Outreach of America. So if you might have registered with them at some point, you might want to check things out. They were also known as America Votes. Now, they had an office, apparently, in Clark County, Nevada.
Yeah.
They were evicted for non-payment of rent. Another source told this I-team at Channel 8 that that company has moved to Oregon.
Okay, so look, Portland, listen to us.
Listen up.
I mean, the company's name is Voters Outreach of America. I don't know if they're still under that name.
Or America Votes.
But if you're out there and you can spread the word to your friends, that, you know, if they haven't registered yet, make sure they're registering with a, you know, a state-run organization. Do it online. Do it through the state's elections office. You know, be wary of people that are out on the street registering your votes if they're not directly affiliated with the state.
Now, this is the most telling part of this.
Yeah.
The I-team at Channel 8 says that the company, this Voters Outreach, has been largely, if not entirely, funded by the Republican National Committee.
Mm-hmm.
And similar complaints have been received in Reno, Nevada, and the registrar there has asked the FBI to investigate Voters Outreach, which I'm sure will dissipate into the ether by the time the first agent knocks at the door.
Dude, I wish, you know, we had Paul Babbitt on the phone yesterday. He's running for the legislature out there in
Arizona, yeah.
Oh, is that in Arizona?
Yeah, 1st Congressional District.
Nevada, Arizona. It's close. We could have had him drive over to Nevada and maybe talk to the congressman there.
Well, you know, the Clark County Election Department has a number that you can call in Nevada to find out whether you're in fact registered. It may do well for people, particularly in swing states.
If you have any questions
about whether or not you are registered, to contact your local board of election and double-check your registration. Some states may and some counties may allow you to do this online. Some counties may make you call or whatever. But, you know, you may have to do a little bit of homework. But if you're registered, make sure you're registered. Make sure the precinct and polling station that you're supposed to be in, because right now they're going to start tossing stuff. Never mind the registration cards. If you show up and your name is not on the list, you may not get your vote counted.
And they're completely overwhelmed. I haven't even got my absentee ballot yet from Los Angeles. This is driving me nuts.
Still? This is like day 100.
I don't know what the hell to do about it. Yeah, I'm going to have to fly back to vote. But, you know, they're completely overwhelmed because so many people are so fed up that they're registering.
Yes.
You know, finally, it might be an actual, you know, real turnout.
Well, that's why I'm saying Kerry wins by 8. I'm still saying it. I'm not going to back up off it.
Yeah, there was 100,000 new registrations in Oregon. This is above and beyond anything that
I hope Voters Outreach didn't do them. You know what I'm saying? It makes me very nervous. I hear they're, you know, when you hear they're in Oregon, that's...
Well, see, if you have the scar upside down, the bottom thing's a beard, and this are the horns. All right, so here's the liberal agenda from the Streisand compound. Write these down. One, watch tonight's debate in a bar. Every time Bush says something, loudly smack forehead with palm, shake head, and shout, idiot! Two, rotate bumper stickers on the saw. Put Carrie Edwards sticker over Free Mumia sticker. Three, question the constitutionality of showing the movie The Ten Commandments. Four, work on an October surprise of your own. Hemp brownies for Kerry campaign workers.
Aww.
Heh. Hemp brownies? Those sound chewy.
Aww.
I thought, weren't they hash brownies?
Yeah.
Man, Streisand's got to get her back straight. Five, phrase of the day, just drop it in the conversation. Quote, you know why Bush blinks so much? He has talking points tattooed on his inner eyelids, man. It's the oldest trick in the book, dude. Wake up.
Now, if people want to find out whether or not they're registered, we're going to post some links on morningsedition.com so you can go to your individual state's list
right,
and get your information straight.
Beard and horns.
In the next hour of Morning's Edition, we're going to be talking with DNC boss Terry McAuliffe. You on the phones, we'll have A Rock Birth of a Nation and The Dream Diary, all here on Air America Radio.
Big Brothers Big Sisters presents 100 Years of Helping Kids.
Today, Kyle and his big brother Justin,
hello,
hi,
are here to share some stuff we've learned.
With kids, it's not always what you say, but how you say it.
Hey, Kyle, you want to go to a foreign film festival?
Nah, that's boring.
Okay.
Hey, Kyle, you want to go to a foreign film festival?
Yeah, that's a great idea.
From time to time, a kid may double dare you.
Wow, that looks heavy. Bet you can't lift it.
Are you serious?
I double dare you.
Okay.
See? I told you. Uh-oh.
Moments like these happen every day.
Making a big difference in the life of a child. To find out the many ways you can help support kids in your community, call 1-888-412-BIGS or go to BigBrothersBigSisters.org.
That's BigBrothersBigSisters.org.
This message brought to you by Big Brothers Big Sisters and the Ad Council.
Until next time.
Ben.
I am the Edison photograph to delight those who would have melody on.
Now, Sirius Satellite Fresh. It's on.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. There are reports this morning that former State Secretary James Baker is living a double life by purportedly doing the Bush administration's work as the government's chief envoy in Iraqi debt by day while working on his own commercial concern in Iraqi debt by night, so to speak. At issue, Baker's long, extensive dealings in the Middle East under the banner of the Carlyle Group. Former State Secretary has a $180 million stake in the Carlyle organization. Speculation has it that Baker is carrying water on behalf of Carlyle, trying to gain billions of dollars in Iraqi debt for the organization and others, including one headed by former State Secretary in the Clinton administration, Madeleine Albright. This while as Bush's envoy on Iraqi debt, his role has been to get other nations to forgive what debt Iraq owes them. Baker is reportedly going after the cash on behalf of Kuwait under a multifaceted business deal with Carlyle. Still more deaths out of Iraq this morning. A roadside bombing killed three American soldiers and a convoy of American Iraqi soldiers who were staging an assault on the Sunni insurgents before the start of the Islamic Holy Month of Ramadan this week. Last year, insurgents intensified their attacks against the U.S. and coalition forces at the start of the Holy Month. The attack occurred in eastern Baghdad late yesterday. American troops went on the offensive from the gates of Baghdad to the Syrian border yesterday, pounding Sunni insurgents strongholds from the air and getting support from Iraqi soldiers in raids and mosques suspected of harboring extremists. American and Iraqi forces staged the operations ahead of Ramadan, which was expected to begin at week's end, as many of you know. Violence has returned to the Caribbean nation of Haiti. 46 lives have been lost thus far, with 17 victims among the dead this week. United States accused supporters of ousted President Jean-Bertrand Aristide as having staged the latest offensive. U.S. says it's part of an attempt to destabilize the interim government. Aristide has been living in exile since his ouster earlier this year, which many say was staged by the Bush administration. Aristide was democratically elected. Many of his supporters are demanding his return and an end to the invasion by foreign troops. Reports say there's little chance that voters in the Sunshine State will find any significant changes aimed at ending the problems they encountered during the 2000 presidential elections. Reports say most voters will find the same machines they used last time, few changes for poll workers, and little sign of overhaul Americans were promised after the last election. There had been promises of brand new equipment, computerized voter registration lists, and other improvements. The head of the Election Data Services, Himbal Brace, says Florida is in a situation of catch-up now without being able to implement everything that people thought was going to take place. And both George W. Bush and John Kerry are preparing for the next and final debate tonight in Tempe, Arizona. The focus will be on domestic issues, including the economy. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Honey, Sarah, did you see this? Greg Brady is hosting a show on Sirius.
Don't you mean Barry Williams?
No, Greg Brady. I love the Brady Bunch. I wanted to be Mrs. Greg Brady.
Mm-hmm.
And Sam the Butcher would come by and deliver the groceries. Here's a story of a man named Brady.
One of America's favorite TV stars from the 70s joins Sirius on Totally 70s, Sunday through Friday from 2 to 6 p.m. Eastern on Sirius 7.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Nikes, sales, and Britney tickets, all teenage gotta-haves. But hang out, Mom, because when I come back, I'll tell you about gifts for your 16-year-old that'll never go out of style. We've all seen the Tornado device on TV and wondered if it really worked. I was also skeptical at first until we tested 6 Tornado units. And in every case, we got more miles per gallon and felt more power. Gasoline's expensive, so when we find something that saves us money, it just makes sense to get it. Call 800-500-8880 and order your Tornado unit today. Or visit TornadoAir.com. Forget purple hair. Here's a horrifying pop trend. Car crashes are the number one cause of death for 16 to 24-year-olds. Common factors in almost 7 million crashes involving young adults each year are the dangerous mix of alcohol, inexperience, and a tendency to underestimate risk. Remember when you were bulletproof? So before your 16-year-old blows out the candles, consider enrolling them in a defensive driving course. And before the ink's dry on your 18-year-old's permanent driver's license, think of installing a vehicle monitor on their cars. Unlike last year's styles, these are gifts that'll last. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
A pop quiz for parents with third grade teacher, Mr. Bonner.
Today's quiz will test your general knowledge. 1. Name one Hollywood director. 2. Name one actor from a TV sitcom. Number 3. Name one comedian. 4. Name one game show host. 5. Name one professional athlete. Number 6. Name one reality TV show. And one more question worth 100 points. Name one teacher you've met visiting your kid's school.
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school and know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4-PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
Mark Maron, you're listening to Air America Radio at 6 past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, religious fanatic scientists, the dumb, the sad, the clueless, progressive utopians with no sense of humor. How are you? Delusionaries are welcome to our show. I want to welcome all the delusionaries. Those are people that admit that they are delusional on some level, yet see themselves as visionaries. Delusionaries. A new word. I introduced it. Not that I'm proud of myself. It was actually came out of a mistake. But some great things come out of mistakes. Not that that's great. Listen, I'm just a man diva with narcissistic problems. And I want to share those with you, but not right now, because we got important business to take care of, don't we? I'd like to announce right now, official, good morning, Mark Riley.
Good morning.
And I say that not because I forgot to say good morning to Mark Riley, but I want to make sure that Mark Riley says good morning and we begin our conversation, you know, after I do my little silly stuff here at the beginning of the hour. Because Mark Riley and I talk. That's what we're here to do.
That's right.
I'm here to learn. Mark's here to teach. And occasionally I have a few
I'm laughs. A teacher?
Yes, of course you are.
Does that mean I get 3 months off?
Sure,
or something?
Sure, sure. Do what you think you can. I don't know what the hell I'll do. You know, even when you start reading something for a minute and I'm talking to you, as soon as you drift, I feel like, okay, I'll wait. I have this moment like, well, Mark's not listening to me. I better wait a second.
No. I'm good at that. I can actually listen to you and read it to say it drives my wife crazy because I'll watch television while we're having a conversation and she'll swear I'm not listening to her. And then when I tell her exactly what she says, she gets angry.
What did you say I was reading? Yeah, but I know that trick, too. No, that's the key word trick. You know, I know that.
No, it's no trick. It's not that hard. No,
exactly. But that means you're not really listening. Because, like, they'll be saying something, like, my wife will be like, sorry, I went on stage the other night, and, you know, this guy, you know, Joe is in the room, and then, are you listening to me? Yeah, it's Joe, stage. Anyways, but now I might be getting you in trouble. That's not true. Mark listens to everything. It amazes me sometimes. I'm just talking to your wife right now directly. It amazes me that sometimes he will actually read a novel through the entire 3 hours we're here. You continue to do the show. Just look up in the novel and go, oh, yeah, well, and here's the facts.
Yeah.
All right, so a couple things I wanted to get out before we get rolling, because we got Terry McAuliffe coming up, and he's going to,
Yep, there we go.
Yeah, Terry McAuliffe is coming up in 1 minute.
So we got 1 minute. Let's make it count, all right?
Okay, here, let's make it count. What do I want to... Bush's approval rating, down. It's going down. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. See, we're heading into the final debate here, and apparently, where is it? Okay, voters, judgment. Okay, here, it's going down.
That's what I'm saying to you.
It's going down tonight?
Yeah, no. Yeah, well, no, Bush's approval rating is slowly slipping, and Kerry is just like a point or so ahead. People are starting to disbelieve Bush. They're not so sure that he's good for the economy. They're not so sure that he's good on terror. They're not so sure that Iraq is going that well. And these are people that weren't decided. This is a good sign.
Do you think he's going to create some kind of grand distraction tonight? I and I'm completely speculating here. I'm wondering if he will try to dispel the rumors about that backpack on his back by coming out without a coat.
What's that?
Or coming out with the coat over his shoulders. Something to make people focus on something other than how badly he'll do
coming
in this debate.
Coming up in just a loincloth. A gold lamé loincloth and with a scepter. I am in a crown. Who wants to mess with me? I am Emperor Bush. Sit down, Kerry, little man.
10 past the hour. Kerry McAuliffe in a minute. Air America Radio.
Hey, check us out at morningsedition.com where you can blog, email, and waste lots of time at work looking at our links.
There is a terrible affliction plaguing Americans. It's our number one emotional problem, the failure of relationships, dating, and marriage. At Theradate.com, we are a group of licensed and certified mental health professionals who have decided to do something about it. A revolutionary matching and compatibility system originally available only for use by therapists is now available to the general public. Theradate.com is not a casual dating site. It doesn't use personality profiles or other pop psychology gimmicks. It's a matching system utilizing over 80 years of psychological research. We ask questions the way therapists do to get to know their patients. We ask the questions that truly determine who is the best match for you. Theradate.com is now accepting free registration for a limited time. Log on to Theradate.com to try Theradate's unique matching system for free. If you are tired of being alone and truly want to bond with someone for life, log on to Theradate.com. That's www.theradate.com. For a limited time, it's free to register for our totally unique service.
Outbreak, Mortal Fear, Coma. These blockbuster books made Robin Cook the master of the medical thriller. Now, he returns with Seizure, the heart-pounding bestseller ripped from today's headlines. When a researcher develops a method to alter DNA using stem cells, one man receives treatment with terrifying results. Critics call Seizure infectious and chilling. Get your pulse racing. Read Seizure by Robin Cook, now in Berkeley paperback.
If you're looking to save big this year on a high-quality steel structure from Allied Steel, call 877-99-STEEL. You still have time to add that much-needed workshop, retail, or church space before winter arrives. And our most popular sizes are priced for quick delivery. Get a 40x60 structure for under $18,000 or a 50x100 for under $32,000. Whatever size you need, Allied Steel will answer all of your questions and explain why our structures are the best and most affordable option. Call Allied Steel at 877-99-STEEL.
Baseball and radio, they were like old friends.
Yogi Berra, remembering how back in the 40s he'd listen to hear baseball greats like Joe DiMaggio and Jackie Robinson on the radio.
This is Bill Stern with a cold game.
Listen, DiMaggio, did you knock this baseball through my window?
Yeah, what about it?
Can you autograph it for me, please?
Here we are in New York. I flew in to see the World Series. We observed 1 minute silence over Cleveland.
Now, Yogi presents his favorite baseball radio shows.
I pick up the ones that remind me of how baseball and radio teamed up.
Weekdays at noon and 8 p.m. Eastern on Sirius Radio Classics 133.
How is parenting like Major League Baseball? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Pro Baseball starts its playoffs tomorrow. It was a challenging road for all of the teams who made it. You see, Major Leaguers play more than 160 games a year. Parenting has a long season, too. Day in and day out, you have to come ready to work. If you get discouraged and feel like you're on a losing streak with your kids, adjust your strategy. We can help. For a free 9-inning parenting coaching plan, visit FamilyMinute.net. Go for the win. And remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. If you'd like to get today's Family Minute offer, visit our website, FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or give us a call at 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
My dad can throw a baseball 100 million feet.
Yeah, well, my dad can throw a football 1,000 bazillion feet. That's twice as far.
So, my dad can hold his breath underwater for 5 minutes.
That's nothing. My dad can make a 360 two-handed backward slam dunk with his eyes closed.
Yeah, well, my dad, he can make quarters come out of his nose.
Uh-uh.
Uh-huh.
big deal. My dad eat a whole jalapeno pepper in one bite.
Get out.
Yep, that's impossible. He'd explode. Boom!
Kids who spend time with their fathers are less likely to get in trouble or fail in school. Be there for your kids. Give them someone to brag about. Remember, it takes a man to be a dad.
My dad can smash a soda can with his head.
No way.
Uh-huh. I saw him do it.
Cool.
Then we took him to the hospital.
Call 1-800-790-DADS for more information. A public service message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council.
A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA. TV personality Luke Perry.
All right, I got a little pop quiz for you. It's about me. What was my zip code? What city was it in? Name three kids I hung out with in the lunchroom. Name three kids your child hangs out with in the lunchroom.
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school. And know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4-PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
Wake it up. Wake up. It's Morning Tradition. Good morning. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Hey.
15 past the hour. Got Terry McAuliffe coming up soon. He's the chairman of the Democratic National Committee, if you didn't know that, but I'm sure you did, but some of you might not have. But anyways, what day is it, man? Wednesday?
Yep.
Debate night? Tomorrow
yep.
I go to the therapist? Here we go. This was my dream from last night. I'm having that dream again where Halliburton bought Air America Radio, and I'm the host of the worst radio show ever. Good morning, neocons! This is Mark the Shark Maron with Right and Early, the conservatives' way to wake up! It's 20 after the hour here on Radio Halliburton. Halliburton, building it our way with your money. Oh, beautiful. It's debate night, fellow patriots. Round three of Spank the Traitor. All right, bend over, Kerry. Time to take another licking from George W. Bush. Pull down those $500 pink panties you wear. I'm John the Wiener Kerry. Please don't spank me with your big paddle. You will tear my pretty panties. Help! No! Help! Too bad, loser! Here comes the paddle. Oh, W looks mad. Cover your ass, Kerry. And... oh, that's disgusting. All over my studio. Oh, my God. Hey, Kerry, why don't you get your girlfriend Edwards to come in here and clean up your liberal poop storm? Windsurf your way out of here, fartzilla.
I'm George W. Bush.
Yeah.
I approve this message.
Yes, sir. That's right, sir. Let's take a call. You're on the air, sir. Oh, Kerry's a feminazi. I can't be a communist socialist. He's pooping all over you. Confirm kill caller. We should get kids into sniper training as early as possible. But the liberals think we should just wait for the terrorists to come right into my house and use my toilet. Kerry, how'd you get back in here? That's my crapper. It's 24 after the hour. Time for the neocon power weather forecast. The radar says George W. Bush is going to rain down on that flip-flopper Kerry, even in the desert. Four more years. 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 Oh, there's no place like home. There's no place like home. I woke up and my bed was filled with Orangina. I don't know what that means. I'm exhausted. Oh, my God. No, I'm not. Wake up. We've got the chairman of the Democratic National Committee on the phone. Good morning, Terry McAuliffe.
Mark, good morning.
Good morning. Do you know what we're up against tonight? We are up against the forces of evil, Terry.
Yeah, this is old John Kerry going to knock it out of the park. We're going to win our third straight debate tonight, guys.
Okay, good, man. Good. What do you think? What are the big topics tonight?
Oh, listen, I know George Bush. He knows he's lost two debates. He's got one to go. He's going to come out, you know, the big L word. He's going to talk about taxes. He's going to talk about gay rights. He's going to talk about choice. Listen, George Bush is going to come out real negative. John Kerry's just going to keep on talking his message, and we're going to go 3-for-3.
Now, obviously, national security and the economy are going to be the big ones. What are the specific resolutions that Kerry will provide to implement national security, make it to top Bush on that one?
Well, how about, first of all, I have to tell the truth. I think that's the most important thing people are looking forward to hearing, is how John Kerry's going to get our troops out of Iraq and how he's going to tell the truth. And that's what he's going to say again tonight. We just had the Dulfer report out last week. No weapons of mass destruction. No intentions of having weapons of mass destruction. Senator over there spent $200 billion. And John Kerry's going to make it perfectly clear tonight that how he is going to keep us safe and get our troops home.
You know, I'm sorry, Terry, I just wanted to hit you to this. You know, I'm sure you might know this, but Ron Suskind has written a piece for the New York Times that's coming out Sunday. You should get it to Kerry because I think it'll really help out. It's just a tip from me.
Yeah, it's a 20-page piece, but it's well worth reading. Terry, do you think that the president at this point is going to shift the focus of this debate from domestic issues where it's supposed to be into the whole war on Iraq and that sort of thing? He seems to have been attacking Kerry on that in the lead-up to this debate.
Well, clearly, let's be honest, he can't talk domestic. What's he going to say? You know, vote for me, I'm the first president in 72 years to lose jobs, and 45 million Americans no health insurance, and I underfunded education by $33 billion? No, so he's going to try and go over and talk about his terror, which is all he likes to talk about, because the only thing he can put a sentence together when he at least tries to talk about that. So he's going to try and shift the debate back over. Americans now know, they saw the first debate, the second debate, they're comfortable with John Kerry. Now they want answers to questions. Why our economy is in such a horrible shape? Why has George, put our deficit at $422 billion this year? So he's going to try and move over real quick and use his, cute little phrases that George Bush likes to use. But, I mean, let's be honest. The first debate, I've never seen a president pray the little lights come on because he had nothing else to say. In the second debate, he was, angry at the questioners. He almost charged Charlie Gibson at one point and attacked him. I mean, he's gone from embarrassing to angry. I'm not sure who we're going to see tonight. Furious George should be back, though.
Terry McAuliffe, John Kerry in the second debate pledged not to raise taxes. I'm sure this is going to come up as an issue in the third debate because, George W. Bush likes to paint him as a tax and spend liberal. How is he going to not raise taxes when there's such a humongous deficit if he takes over that I guess will be left by his predecessor?
Well, first he said he will raise taxes on those folks that make over $200,000 a year, but will do a tax cut for 98% of the other taxpayers. But he will do a tax increase on those that make over $200,000.
Yeah, but that's not going to cover $521 billion, though, will it? How is he going to balance the budget?
He said he would cut the deficit in half is what he would do in his first term. I mean, it's going to take time just to Bill Clinton and Al Gore. It took us a good 6 years to get us back up to a surplus situation. It's going to take John Kerry time to do it. But we can't keep on the path with Bush. I mean, he keeps giving tax cuts. He just gave one yesterday for big corporations, $362 billion just yesterday.
Mm-hmm. What were the specifics of that tax cut? Do you know, Terry, how'd that work?
Well, it was mainly for corporations yesterday.
Yes.
It was a lot of incentives for businesses to write things off and eliminate many of the onerous taxes that corporations said they'd had for many years.
Right.
But right now we're in the middle of a war. We got a $422 billion deficit this year, and he keeps giving tax cuts to the top 1% and to the big corporations. Everybody else is taking it.
That's unbelievable. How's that? Now, Arizona, I come from New Mexico. My brother was in Arizona, and there's a large population of Latinos. How's Kerry reaching out to that population?
Well, we have a massive outreach program going on with the Hispanic program today. I just saw a poll yesterday that we should get about 66% of the Hispanic vote. If you look at today, we're tied in Colorado, we're up in New Mexico, and we're up in Nevada today. Those southern states obviously are moving towards us. We won New Mexico by 366 votes in the 2000 presidential election. But obviously, as it relates to the Hispanic population, George Bush on jobs, education funding have disproportionately affected the Hispanic community.
Right.
He's done nothing on immigration reform, absolutely nothing. He said he wanted to work with Vicente Fox and Central Latin America. He's done nothing. George Bush has been a joke on almost every single issue.
Did you hear about this? These people registering elections in Nevada that were throwing out Democratic registrations?
Yeah, it's not just there. It's all over the country. We're fighting battles all over the country.
Well,
The Republicans know what's going on here. They see these unprecedented amount of new voter registrants around the country, millions of them, and they're coming out supporting us 3 and 4 to 1.
But
they know this, so they're going to try and do an act of disenfranchisement to the communities of color to try and deny us votes. We get 2/3 of the Hispanic vote. We get 9 out of 10 of the African American vote. So every voter they can disenfranchise, they know is a vote for George Bush.
But what about when they're breaking the law? Are you guys on top of that stuff?
Sure, we're filing suits all over. You bet. In Florida, they had these state troopers that were going to elderly African-American homes and questioning why they were registering voters. I mean, outrageous behavior. We've filed suits. We've written letters. I've written letters to the president, which, they make airplanes out of. But, yeah, we're all over this, and we get a lot of good press around it.
Good.
Terry,
just to make sure people are aware.
Good.
Terry, what specific issues will the senator be focusing on? What's best for him to focus on tonight?
Well, the number one issue for so many Americans, obviously, is health care. The cost of health care is up 50%. So you'll see a lot of discussion tonight on all the health care issues. Also on the jobs issue. As you know, George Bush, first president in 72 years not to create a single net new job. And let's be honest, those few jobs that he is creating, they pay less than $15 an hour, and they come with no health benefits at all. So, you know, we got to create real quality jobs with health benefits to them.
Mm-hmm. Terry, he's talked before, the senator, on port security. Right now, about 1% of the containers coming through America's ports are actually inspected by anybody. Can he really make that change? How will he do it?
Well, clearly it's all about funding for Homeland Security, and George Bush said he can't do funding for Homeland Security because of the tax cap. And this is the guy who created the tax cap. So literally it's a question of funding. 2% of our cargo ships today are presently inspected. It's all about money. John Kerry has said that he will fully fund the Homeland Security initiatives, which we have to do to keep the country safe. It's a question of money and getting new inspectors.
Mm-hmm. Well, now let me ask you another thing. What about the environment? I mean, what's Kerry's? I mean, because clearly George Bush just makes up these names to pillage the environment, to pillage the planet. He compromises pollution standards. What's Kerry got on that?
Well, if you just look at a 20-year voting record in the United States Senate, there's nobody who's been out fighting harder on the environment. George Bush has been the worst president in modern history. Actually, I thought Senator Kerry could have been a little tougher last week on George Bush on the environment.
Yeah.
Listen, we can knock it out of the park. I mean, this guy taking down the forests, or, you know, look at clean air and clean water issues. I mean, George Bush has allowed the chemical companies, all the big industries, to roll back regulations. Half the regulations of this country have been rolled back. And Kerry will reinstitute them to make sure that we have a clean air, clean water, and a healthy environment.
I feel good about it. You guys excited? How's Kerry feeling? Good?
He's ready. He is so pumped.
I know. I saw him on TV yesterday. It's like, wow, man. His eyes were
ready to go.
Yeah. Terry McAuliffe, James Baker, the former Secretary of State, was the person that negotiated the terms of all three of these debates. And there's an article coming up in The Nation that says he's got a huge conflict of interest with regard to debt forgiveness on the part of Kuwait. We're talking specifically about Iraq debt forgiveness. Is the DNC prepared to call him on that if the senator doesn't?
Sure, absolutely. You know, listen, Baker and those guys negotiated. But let me say the debate. First of all, I think too many of these agreements, we ought to just let people just swing it out for, on these debates and get up there for 90 minutes and just let it go. But we got to look at the debt forgiveness issue all over the country. You've got Pakistan today who's very upset with us today because we agreed to all these different issues on debt retirement. We haven't done anything with them.
And what about the, apparently there's a control box for the Bush robot that he wears on his back. Did you see those pictures, Terry?
What's that got?
Did you see those?
As you can tell, I'm going through airport security right now.
Oh, okay. All right, well, don't want to
hope you don't set it off, Terry.
Don't let him take your phone away. Did you see the pictures that were speculating that Bush might have been mic'd or he might have actually had a control panel on his back of some kind?
Listen, let me tell you, if George Bush had something on his back,
it didn't work, right?
And that's the best he could do in a debate. Yeah. They said they ought to fire everybody in the back room.
Terry, one final quick question before you get through the detector there. Is there a possibility we can get the senator or Senator Edwards on Morning Sedition here on Air America? We've been trying and trying and trying. We figure you're the biggest honcho we know. You got to help us out.
I'll do you a favor. I'll talk to John Kerry today for you. How's that?
You'll ask him today?
I'm flying to Tempe right now.
All right. Just make sure that's the most important thing you ask him. Debates are important, but we want to have him on our show.
But we want to have him on our show. That's important.
I'll wait for the victory party.
Okay.
All right, guys, thanks.
Too late.
Thanks a lot, Terry.
Take it easy. That was Terry McAuliffe. Did he just say he would help us and then say he'll wait for the victory party? I was talking about the debate.
The debate party. Yeah, afterwards.
I was going to say, look, on November 4th, when he's president, we're never going to get it.
Yeah.
This is our only shot.
Well, actually, we might be able to go down to Washington. Sometimes they'll do that. They'll go to Washington and we can set up a whole thing and do a remote broadcast from downstairs in the basement of the White House. And actually sit down with the man.
From the cafeteria? From the commissary in the
White House? No, they got these little phone booth sized things down in the basement of the White House press room. Anyway, that's a long story.
I actually felt like we had a conversation with him.
Yeah, we did. And he was in a hurry, too. You could tell.
Yeah, 866-303-2270. We'll have a conversation with you. Is that cool?
Yeah. 866-303-2270. And also coming up, Iraq, Birth of a Nation. And Mort Milfington, I think, may be on his way with the War on Brains when we continue here on Air America Radio.
We'll be right back.
You want to add your 2 cents? Give us a call at 866-303-2270 and give us your best shot.
There's only one movie between now and Election Day that's required viewing. The only film that will make you truly understand what's happening inside the White House. It will frighten you. It will infuriate you. It will tell you all you need to know about the stream of misinformation spewing from the White House. It will introduce you to the Svengali puppet master who's really running the country, the co-president of the United States. It's the only film that tells you who's really behind the dirt and deception in the campaign. There's one film you need to see before November 2nd. The name of the film? Well, we can't tell you that. The government won't allow us. Let's just say it's called W's Brain. The President's Brain. Oh, you know, Bush's Brain. Call 1-800-750-4856 and order now, or go to www.airamericaradio.com. That's 1-800-750-4856 or airamericaradio.com. Isn't it time you heard the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Straight from Bush's Brain.
Honey, did you see this? Greg Brady is hosting a show on Sirius.
Don't you mean Barry Williams?
No, Greg Brady. I love the Brady Bunch. I wanted to be Mrs. Greg Brady.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Sam the Butcher would come by and deliver the groceries. Here's a story of a man named Brady.
One of America's favorite TV stars from the 70s joins Sirius on Totally 70s. Sunday through Friday from 2 to 6 p.m. Eastern on Sirius 7.
I love you, Greg Brady.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Spending your gas money at a different kind of pump may be a chemistry experiment that'll really bang your buck. When I come back, I'll whisper my secret formula.
I'm Bobby Likas with a tip about fuel injectors. The manufacturer that pioneered the best fuel injector cleaning equipment also makes the best fuel injector cleaner. That company is BG Products. Professionals use BG's 44K to eliminate injector fouling. If you expect professional results, ask for a professional product. Ask your shop for BG 44K or go to bgfindashop.com. That's bgfindashop.com.
The formula for prolonging the life of tires could be found in the periodic table. Actually, it is in nitrogen. Filling tires with pure nitrogen versus oxygen-rich compressed air may have advantages. Since oxygen promotes rubber breakdown, tires pumped with nitrogen should last longer. Also, nitrogen permeates rubber at a lower rate, so tires lose pressure at a slower rate. And nitrogen's dispensed from clean and dry cylinders, which reduce the intake of dirt and moisture, tire snakes in the grass, or in this case, snakes in the gas, as they cause internal degradation. So experiment with nitrogen. It's a gas, gas, gas. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Hello.
Hi, Bill. This is George Dewey from up the street.
Oh, hey, George. How you doing?
Good, good. Say, I noticed you've been walking to work these days instead of driving.
Mm.
And I don't quite know how to say this, but...
But what?
But your butt. Your butt. I think I found your butt on my front lawn. Have you recently lost it?
As a matter of fact, I have, George. It's about time someone noticed.
Well, it was kind of hard to miss, if you know what I mean. Anyways, would you like it back?
Would I like it back? No, not really.
So it's okay if I throw it out?
Sure, that's fine. Take it easy, George.
Small step number 8. Walk instead of driving whenever you can. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA. TV personality Luke Perry.
All right, I got a little pop quiz for you. It's about me. What was my zip code? What city was it in? Name 3 kids I hung out with in the lunchroom. Name 3 kids your child hangs out with in the lunchroom.
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school. And know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4-PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
Drop off the kids, run by the bank, pick up dinner, save the year. It's amazing what a mom can accomplish in an afternoon. It's called trip chaining, or combining errands into one trip. It saves time and reduces traffic congestion and pollution, making our towns a better place to live. So keep it up, because it all adds up to cleaner air. Sponsored by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the EPA.
All right, 34 past the hour, Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Where?
You're back there, man. I see you. I'm crazy. So this morning's edition, you're listening to Air America Radio. I think I'd like to welcome some of our new listeners. Maybe after I do this bit, we should play the ad where the fire truck comes
from. Actually is located, yes.
Maybe. I'm going to tease that a little bit. Since the handover of power, we're exploring various issues and opportunities the Iraqis and Americans will face. This is Iraq, Birth of a Nation, Day 106. Leaders of Iraq. Yes, good morning. Any Sunnis in the house? How are you? Talking to you today. Now, the word is, you guys aren't all that psyched about the upcoming election. You're so afraid of insurgent violence and threats that you're just checking out of the whole political scene. That's so weird, because under Saddam, you guys used to run the whole show around here, and now you're sulking like whipped puppies. All right, I'm sorry, bad metaphor. So now you're what we would call an oppressed minority. Hey, look, we've got those, and some of them used to run things. Now they're on reservations. Yeah, they were crotchety at first, and we had to put them down, put down our share of uprisings. That was before car bombs, but trust me, arrows hurt, dude. All right. What's different is that our minorities want to vote, so we have to go to great lengths to keep Indians and blacks and Latinos from doing so. So if you decide not to participate, you're just working for the man. Sunnis, check out if you want, but don't expect too much when the new regime sets up shop. You've never had citizenship, but now you're about to have second-class citizenship. Hope you like getting pulled over, having cops plant drugs on you, picking fruit, and having to play domestics on every sitcom. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that will happen. You know what we always say, live free or die. So good luck. This is day 106 of Iraq, Birth of a Nation. Remember to vote. And I'll give you another one.
If you have any question about what John Kerry's made up, just spend 3 minutes with the men who served with him.
John Kerry? He bad.
John Kerry bad.
I don't like him.
John Kerry bad.
John Kerry loses.
Me no like John Kerry.
He not good. John Kerry's my poop fire truck.
John Kerry not good.
Kerry no good.
Bad.
I don't like John Kerry.
John Kerry took my shoe.
Swift Boat Veterans for Truth is responsible for the content of this advertisement.
Michelle, good morning.
Hi, Michelle.
What's up, guys? How are you?
All right, how you doing?
I'm great. I love your show. I listen to it every day on my commute to work.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, I just moved to Virginia and this past summer, and as soon as I moved here, the first thing I did was, well, spend thousands of dollars to get my car registered here, because Northern Virginia has to be the most expensive place on the country.
Thousands?
First thing I did was register to vote.
Yeah.
And that was in August. And I have yet to receive my voter registration card, and I'm registered as a Democrat.
Wow. Did you call to ask if you were registered?
I have called 4 times.
Oh, man.
Who did you call? Who did you call, Michelle?
I called the DMV, because that's where I registered. I have the receipt for my registration from when I did it.
Mm-hmm.
They said, oh, well, just take that. You'll be fine. And I said, you're sure? And they said, well, nothing's ever a guarantee.
Well, now, how about your county board of elections?
That will be my next call, and I will be calling them today. I'm just so frustrated because I wasted a vote last election because I voted for Nader because I was an environmentalist, and I just thought, you know, I didn't feel comfortable at all with Bush, and of course, but now's my time to get it back, get my vote back, and I'm so afraid I'm going to be robbed of it.
Well, we still got it. You got a couple weeks here to work this out, and they have something called provisional voting, I believe.
The provisional ballots, but there's difficulty about whether or not those will end up getting counted depending on what the circumstances of her registration were. But what you need to do is, if you don't get any satisfaction from your county board, go on morningsedition.com. I believe we have a link that will tell you exactly how you can find out whether or not they have in fact processed your paperwork.
Well, it's just so amazing that this administration and the cronies there that follow them will do whatever it takes to keep them in power.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's such dirty business.
This is politics, Michelle. They're not playing at this.
Well, what scares me is I'm 25, and I have a lot of friends that are trying to swing me to come to the dark side. And I'm like, no, really, you guys will see the light one day, and you'll vote Democratic. And what scares me is this administration is using fear as a way to swing votes. Dick Cheney is the scariest guy I think I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's horrendous. Yeah.
And I hate the fact that he will turn it back on us and say, if you vote John Kerry in, God help what happens to this country. And that's just turning the fear on us to say, oh, well, God, what happens if we do vote Kerry in?
Well, your friends who are voting for Bush, I mean, he's got nothing to run on but fear.
And faith.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm sorry. I think there was a really great president that said the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
That was Harry Truman. Oh, no.
Oh, FDR.
That was FDR. Sorry. Harry Truman said the buck stops here.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, both of them need to come and kick Bush's ass.
I'll work that out in my dream diary.
Oh, thank you very much.
Okay, thanks for calling, Michelle.
Have a great day.
Okay, you too. Good luck with that fight to figure out whether you're registered or not. Yeah, now she's got me thinking. I got to follow up on mine.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous how I think a lot of it has to do not only with dirty business like in Nevada, but just the fact that they are not prepared for the number of people that are ready to vote this president out.
You know,
they're overextended because they count on a third of the people of this country voting. Jenna,
be prepared.
In New Jersey, how are you?
Hi, Jenna.
Hi.
Nice to talk to you. What's going on?
I'm also really worried about voter. I feel like the Republicans have purged voter registration all over the country that's not really worried about winning because they've disenfranchised so many people.
Yeah. It really feels to me that there's a groundswell. There's almost a public outcry, and the amount of people that are registering is very encouraging. And also, as Terry McAuliffe said, we had a guest on the other day, said that there are literally mobilizing hundreds and hundreds of lawyers around the country to sort of like protect this process. And I believe it's 1-800-OUR-VOTE. 866-OUR-VOTE. You can call if you have any suspicion or any indication or any proof that there's some tampering going on or you feel suspicious about anything, because there are lawyers on call ready to deal with this stuff. There's never been this stuff in place before, and it is encouraging. I think we should have a little bit of hope in that a lot of this stuff is out in the open, and hopefully, you know, it will monitor the situation.
Yeah. And I'd like to urge people to see Unprecedented.
Yeah.
To know what your voter rights are, that you can sign affidavits, and to know what your right is at the polling places that you're supposed to be at.
That's a Robert Greenwald documentary that is probably available online, and we'll put the link to that on the site.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Also,
what's up?
Mark,
yeah.
I used to listen to you all the time. I'd love to see you do an Air America scavenger hunt.
Okay.
Like you used to do.
Did I do that? Mark Riley, you talking to?
Yeah. Mark Maron?
Yeah.
Aren't you on Mark and Brian? Wasn't that you? No.
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 No. But that's good. At least I seem like a radio professional. I appreciate your call, Jenna. But thanks
wow.
for not knowing.
Mistook you for somebody
in.
Else. But that's okay.
No, it's very nice. But we'll do a scavenger hunt. Go find out whether or not they threw out your voter registration. Thanks for your call, John. I appreciate it. Mark in New York.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, good morning, guys.
How you doing, man?
I just wanted to say, I think Terry McAuliffe, after this election, he needs to go. I like the guy. I think he's very smart. I think we need someone in there like James Carville, Al Franken, Mike Malloy, someone with a stronger voice, someone who's going to get younger Democratic voices in there, someone who's going to counter this horrible spin machine that's on the right, someone that's going to hold the media accountable when they spew out wrong information, when they don't check for weapons in Iraq, when they don't question this administration, they just give them a blank check to do whatever the hell they want.
But let me ask you something, Mark. I mean, the truth of the matter is like, you know, we have an outlet here. You know, Malloy's on the air here. Franken's on the air here. And sometimes it seems to me that if certainly from the side we're coming from, which is a side that embraces diversity, that sees the change as possible, that entertains more than one, you know, point of view at a time because we represent, you know, eclectic bunches of people, that when you're fighting against someone as narrow-minded and an agenda so insidious, that if you're not careful about your tone, they will characterize you as some sort of crackpot. So there's a certain amount of politicking that, you know, representatives from the Democratic National Committee and from the Democratic side, they have to, you know, realize that they're fighting against people that will go out of their way to make them look like lunatics. So there's, you know, we're fighting on two fronts here, that, you know, we have to have a certain amount of not self-censorship, but a certain amount of discipline and groundedness in order to make our points. But the media is the one that really should take responsibility and start, you know, owning up to their side of this and start investigating the truth of the lies.
And besides, in the end, when it's all said and done, Terry McAuliffe's tenure will be determined by whether or not Kerry wins.
And if Terry McAuliffe goes, then Janet, that's your scavenger hunt. After the election, you get to find Terry McAuliffe.
Hey. Or his replacement.
Yeah, but Carvel, despite what anyone knows or says, what Mark is saying is true, but Carvel is advising on the
advising Kerry, yeah.
He, you know, President Clinton is advising. You know, there's a lot of people that are putting their, you know, 2 cents in, but they're not, you know, out in public doing it. And, you know, it really comes down to how Kerry delivers this message. Because, you know, they can very easily make fun and make people who look, you know, people who are passionate and people who have a diversity of causes, they're very good at making us look like sort of, you know, in lunatics. So we can't do it on our own. We can't, you know, we can do it here, but, you know, when we're in public. We're coming back with more Milfington after this 45 past the hour, Air America Radio.
Check. World-renowned reggae artist Paco Banton talks about Mama Nature.
The first track, Mama Nature, speaks for itself, really. The birds and bees, the plants and trees, the way that the leaders are treating the planet. For me, being aware and making people aware of the necessity to take care of the planet we live on is just as important as taking care of the house that you live in.
Hata talks about corporate responsibility.
I think there has to be a balance between the principles that major companies have and a balance between that and the profit margin that they need to gain to sustain themselves as a major company. But they have to tilt the scales in the direction of caring for this planet.
Words of wisdom from Pato Benton. That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Clif Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at CliffBar.com.
Larry King here to tell you I'm getting more from my vitamin C. I'm getting the advanced protection of Ester C. Advanced because Ester C is the only vitamin C with metabolites. Advanced because it's already in a form my body can use. So do what I do and get more from your vitamin C. Take Ester C. ESTER-C. Are you getting advanced protection from your vitamin C?
Look for Ester C and now new Ester E, where fine vitamins are sold.
This week on MotherJones.com, American soldiers are speaking out against the Iraq war, and some are refusing to fight. Soldier-led groups like Iraq Veterans Against the War are springing up, and today, 54% of military households oppose the war. Some soldiers are even fleeing to Canada as refugees. Read about it in a special report on MotherJones.com, featuring interviews with soldiers at the forefront of the movement against the war. Log on now to MotherJones.com because you need independent news.
Rolling Stone in college football, NFL, the Weather Channel, BBC, it's getting late, it's even the cheese at the gate, Discord TV, the music, rocks, commercial free discovery, MLB and Patreon with left and right to call the shots, Matt's infection, John McMullen, Lauren Ingram, Michael Reagan, Dallas Bennett, Frank the Factor, Traffic Savage, Hazen Pryor, Randy Rose, and MP on this comedy and all the stars.
Life is a rock of the radio.
Do you honor your mother and father? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Perhaps you grew up in a home where you only remember abuse, alcoholism, drugs. Your memories of your father or mother are painful. Well, it's a lot easier to remember only the bad times and forget about the things our parents did right. Maybe. Just maybe, it's time to look at them through a different lens. to honor them regardless of their failures. Start understanding that they may have experienced similar pain from their parents. Can you thank them today for something? Their work, their sacrifice, some good memory? Think about it. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find some great resources for strengthening your family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
AIDS has killed nearly 6 million children worldwide. That's more than every child in every preschool, grade school, and high school in New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Washington, Atlanta, and Miami combined. The time to do something is now. The place is apathyislethal.org. AIDS is preventable. Apathy is lethal.
A public service announcement brought to you by the United Nations Foundation and the Ad Council.
Want to influence a child's life? Wear your seatbelt. Research shows that when a driver doesn't wear a seatbelt, 70% of the time the children in that car don't either. And an unbuckled child is in danger. Traffic crashes are the leading cause of death for children. Help us stop unbuckled adults from endangering children's lives. There's just too much to lose. This has been a public service announcement brought to you by Buckle Up America.
It's 50 past the hour. I am Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Oh, yeah.
And as you know, this is Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. If you want to blog, go to Air America. What is it? Morning Sedition. I know what it is. If you want to email sedition at airamericaradio.com. Always like the emails. Some of them. Ah, woo! Every Wednesday, we bring you the latest news from the front lines of the three-year global war being waged by the Bush administration. Here now is war correspondent Mort Milfington with today's dispatch from the War on Brains.
Thank you, Opie and Anthony. Dateline, New York, Columbia University, prestigious Ivy League institution of higher learning, and backdrop for the movie K-Pax. October 13th, the colossal Bush phalanx against brains, its ranks forever plowing through the humble ramparts of reason and rational thought like a blinded Polyphemus, its flailing arms drunkenly heaving boulders in every direction, its gaping maw bellowing primordial frustration in equal holy and intensity to the piercing flatulence that can only accompany it. Got some comeuppance this week. It seems back in 2001, two Columbia University experts published a startling claim in a respected medical journal. People who are prayed for by Christian groups were twice as likely to heal as those who are not. Wait for it. 3 years later, one of these experts pleaded guilty to conspiracy and business fraud. Their research, discredited and pulled from the Columbia University website, along with a very convincing paper written by a Nigerian doctor named Mobutu Akindi, claiming to have in his possession an instrument of payment for $21 million, which he and his colleagues would like to transfer into my account. How could I have been so stupid? Anyway, that the Bush administration would waste millions of our tax dollars to fund prayer research? Shameful. That a university like Columbia would be part of it? Ignominious. That I would, in my laziness, attempt to combine the words shameful and ignominious? Shame-nominious. Now, I know prayer is important to many Americans. In fact, a recent government study found that 45% of adults, many of them poor, use prayer for health reasons. Specifically prayers like this. Please, God, I wish I could afford health care. This praying crap just ain't working. I need some real medicine. As for the true value of prayer, I bet that indicted Columbia scientist is learning that right now. Please, God, don't let my cellmate hide his stash up my rectum again. Yes, that's a pretty much a dirty version of the previous joke. But then I've always found the best medicine to be laughter. Laughter induced by a fistful of bennies and a paralyzing fear of the future. My Xanadu. And so, until next time, freedom fighters, read, write, and hang down your head in shame, Columbia University. You're not worth the space shuttle you're named after. And that's today's dispatch from
the War on Brains.
Thanks, Mort.
You're welcome. Are you a man of faith yourself?
Not really. I tend to mix it up a little. You know, sometimes I have faith. Sometimes just coffee's good. You know, I don't. Is all that stuff true?
Yes, it's all true.
Mort, do you have Mr. Akinde's email address, please? I'd like to get in on that.
Yes, I have a number of email addresses from Mr. Akinde. I lost a substantial amount. I have nothing left. Thank you.
What are you doing now?
Oh, I guess I'm just going to hang out in my office with my pants down in the dark.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you.
Yeah, take care.
Take care. Have
Bye.
A nice trip.
Whatever.
All right.
Lord have mercy.
Oh, man. That Mort. That's an odd bird.
Well, you know, the Nigerians really must have spread that scam pretty wide if Mort ended up with it.
I got one or two. And there's like several different versions of it.
I know. They're not all Nigerians anymore either.
I saw a guy do a one-man show all about him, like literally, instead of giving the money, like tracking the person down, he had an ongoing email exchange with the guy.
Oh, wow.
And he kept calling him on the BS and kept, you know, pushing him for more facts. And it was amazing how long it went on for. This went on over like 6 months. There was an exchange of 34 emails of this guy persisting, you know, with his story. Even though
it was unraveling before his very eyes.
Exactly.
Did they finally meet for lunch at a Midtown diner or something?
No. I don't remember exactly how it all resolved itself. And I don't remember who did the show, so clearly it didn't have a lot of impact on me, but I do remember that was it, because I was doing my one-man show after him, so I'm sure half of me was thinking about me, and the other half was sort of listening, as is every day. But in the next hour, I want to set this up, because we're going to sort of like pick apart, you know, what the possible debate topics are going to be, you know, where Bush stands, you know, and what the truth of the matter is. You know, I mean, obviously, you know, Kerry's going to go at him with everything he has, and we'll cover, you know, like, Terry, you know, covered a little bit of Kerry's angle, but I really want to just take apart, like, jobs, unemployment, the deficit, you know, tax cuts, you know, and go into a little tax, Kerry's tax plan. And just basically, like, Paul Krugman wrote this piece, Checking the Facts in Advance, in the Times. And we're going to do a little of that. You know, we'll talk about health care a little bit and fiscal responsibility.
This has been an ugly presidency, no matter how you try and measure it. I mean, and that we're going to get into later on with Ron Suskind, the whole idea of how reality can be changed in some people to make a rotten presidency smell like a rose.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't understand it.
And this stuff that he talks about, you know, in terms of not just being, you know, a fanatical Christian or a born-again Christian, is that over time that has evolved into a sort of a cultish atmosphere within the Oval Office, within the White House. And, you know, I've always said that, you know, he is the, you know, the AWOL blow monkey puppet of the Cheney regime's, you know, neocon death cult. But there is a messianic element that isn't a belief system, that is sort of revolving around Bush himself, that there are voters that believe he is a messenger of God, that God is in the Oval Office, and he has, you know, an inner sanctum of people, you know, what they believe secretly in their hearts. They're definitely playing along. So you have sort of a sort of clean-cut Manson-ish environment, you know, going on where people are being sacrificed.
But, you know, what I don't understand, Mark, if people want to follow somebody with that kind of messianic fervor, you would have thought that there would have been some outward sign that what they say actually works. In other words, you know, if people profess to have this vision from God or God speaking through them, however you want to describe it, at least you could be right about something.
Yeah. No,
don't you think?
Well, there's a good piece, and we'll talk to Suskind about it, about, you know, the difference between, you know, having faith and being, you know, inquisitive and willing to navigate difficult situations with the faith, or having faith and insisting that you're right and not open to any input, is very different, because that leads to a certain messianic, you know, self-image.
Yeah, yeah. I just can't understand how people can go for it if the guy is never right. And George Bush has been right precious few times in his life, if you look
at
his bio.
That's got nothing to do with it.
Yeah, you're right about that. In the next hour of Morning's Edition, as mentioned, author Ron Suskind on G.W. Bush, faith-based president. Also, Planet Bush, you on the telephones, and the liberal agenda when we return here on Air America Radio.
Floods and flash floods can strike almost anywhere. Many people don't know that the severe damage to homes and property caused by floodwaters is not covered by homeowners insurance. Protect yourself and your family from catastrophic financial loss due to flood damage. Learn more about the National Flood Insurance Program by calling 1-800-427-4661. 1-800-427-4661. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency.
Black people, a stroke doesn't care about your money or status. Know that it could be a stroke if suddenly you have problems speaking or seeing. Maybe one side gets numb or weak. If any of these occur, act immediately. Call 911. This is Kelly Price.
Blacks have a higher occurrence of stroke. Why is that? Call 1-888-4-STROKE or visit www.strokeassociation.org. Time lost is brain lost. A public service message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Uncensored.
Uncensored.
Uncut.
Uncut.
Satellite fresh.
Satellite fresh.
Serious. It's on.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilmer. With the presidential contest tighter than tight, George W. Bush can ill afford a loss of 21 electoral votes out of the state of Pennsylvania, but a report this morning paints a picture that Bush is ready to give up the fight in the Keystone State and is now casting his sights in the West with 20 days left before the election. Shift in the Bush schedule is welcome news for the Kerry camp. Bush trekked to Pennsylvania some 39 times during the course of the campaign to win over the undecided. His campaign has spent a ton of cash to sway votes in his direction, this not to mention the impact of the Swift vote ads. In other election news, employees of a private voter registration company is charging that hundreds of or even thousands of voters who may think they are registered will be rudely surprised on election day. Workers say they have evidence that many of the applications culled by the organization Voters Outreach of America, a.k.a. America Votes, have been tossed. They charge that many of those applications saved were those candidates signing up as Republicans. Two former workers of the group say they personally witnessed company supervisors rip up and trash the registration form signed Democrats. Democratic Party boss Terry McAuliffe says the Republicans are running scared in the vernacular. McAuliffe says the GOP has been taking a long, hard look at voter registration activity across the country and are wondering.
We're fighting battles all over the country. The Republicans know what's going on here. They see these unprecedented amount of new voter registrants around the country, millions of them, and they're coming out supporting us 3-4-1. So they're going to try and do an act of disenfranchisement to the communities of color to try and deny us votes. We get 2/3 of the Hispanic vote. We get 9 out of 10 of the African-American vote. So every voter they can disenfranchise, they know is a vote for George Bush.
Terry McAuliffe of the DNC on Morning's Edition on Air America Radio. Former President Bill Clinton will be lending his voice to the election effort of John Kerry, even though he was not expected to be a participant in the campaign because of recent open heart surgery. Ex-commander-in-chief is still recovering and will only play a limited role. Clinton has been keeping himself busy advising Kerry via telephone. Reports say Clinton will soon tape a phone message that will be sent to the homes of voters. Campaign officials are also hopeful that he will record a radio spot for Kerry, but that still remains in question. Clinton's doctors and his wife, New York's junior U.S. Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton, are not quite sure if he's ready to do more for the campaign. Clinton underwent quadruple bypass surgery 5 weeks ago in New York. Clinton already told one campaign official to plan at least 2 events for the final days of the Kerry campaign. American troops went on the offensive from the gates of Baghdad to the Syrian border yesterday, pounding Sunni insurgent strongholds from the air and getting support from Iraq soldiers in raids a mosque suspected of harboring extremists. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Honey, dear, did you see this? Greg Brady is hosting a show on Sirius.
Don't you mean Barry Williams?
No, Greg Brady. I love the Brady Bunch. I wanted to be Mrs. Greg Brady.
Mm-hmm.
And Sam the Butcher would come by and deliver the groceries. Here's a story of a man named Brady.
One of America's favorite TV stars in the 70s joined Sirius on Totally 70s. Sunday through Friday from 2 to 6 p.m. Eastern on Sirius 7.
Hello, everybody. I'm Tony Tantilli, your fresh grocer. And today's tip of the day is going to be with romaine lettuce. Now, with the holidays coming around, romaine lettuce for that Caesar salad is very important. But if you want to ruin that Caesar salad, it's not the dressing. It's that bad head of romaine lettuce you might pick out. So let's talk about selection and storage. When selecting a romaine lettuce, you want to buy the bigger ones. The bigger ones are the better ones. Deep green color all throughout those leaves. Check the bottom where it's been cut. You want to make sure it's nice and white and clear from any browning whatsoever. Now, here is the key with romaine. When you do bring it home, fill your sink with some water. Put the romaine in that water for a few minutes. Take it out, shake off the excess water, take a moist paper towel, wrap it around, then stick it in the refrigerator. It will last 5 to 10 days, nice and crispy. Romaine for the Caesar salad. It's available. The prices are great. And I'm Tony Tantilli, your fresh grocer, and this is your tip for the day. Hello, I'm Tony Tantilli. You know, sometimes information on nutrition and health can seem overwhelming. That's why there's the Dole Nutrition News. Twice a month, this electronic newsletter will bring you the very latest in diet and nutrition research, plus recipes, fitness tips, and natural beauty ideas. Best of all, it's absolutely free. How to get all this information? Simply just go to www.dolenutrition.com. To sign up, it's free, it's easy, and it's loaded with news that you can use to lose weight and look great. Again, that's www.dolenutrition.com.
Speak out on Sirius.
Get serious about your vote.
Yeah, this Tom in Missouri. The Bush administration has botched everything they've gotten their hands on, and they have got to go on November 2nd. Vote for John Kerry for president.
Hello, I'm Terry Dembowski. I'm from Ohio. I'm voting for Mr. Bush. President Bush has done a fine job for it. I'm a truck driver, and many of other truck drivers like myself are voting for Mr. Bush.
This is Ron from New Jersey, and this November 2nd, I'll be voting for John Kerry. George Bush must go. Anybody that sits there for 7 minutes after they've been told that our nation is under attack is not a good leader.
This is Tracy from Indianapolis, Indiana. I'm a retired U.S. Navy veteran, so I encourage all the veterans to get out and vote for George W. Bush.
Tell us why this presidential election is important to you.
Call 1-877-33-SIRIUS and press 4.
To speak out on Sirius.
Mark Maron, it's 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition. Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes.
Oh, do you want to hear the rest of it?
Yeah! Here comes John Fire Truck Carey to put the fire out!
Yeah.
To win it! To take it!
Good morning, delusionaries. If you don't know what that is, it's a new word where you accept that you are deluded in some respect, but it may not be a bad thing, but you also see yourself as a visionary. You are a delusionary. I made up that word earlier. I'd also like to welcome all the narcissists who don't think that they're narcissists, because if you had that kind of self-awareness, the pain of being a narcissist would be too much. Does that make any sense to you? In order to be a successful narcissist, Mark Riley, you have to really commit. You can't ever say, hey, maybe that has nothing to do with me, because then the whole thing crumbles and there's nothing but sad there.
That kind. See, because I thought you were talking about like a narcissist that spends all day in the bathroom looking at themselves in a mirror or something.
Well, that would be back. That's pretty retro. I mean, that's actually the original narcissist. That is narcissist. But this is, you know, the psychological syndrome based on, you know, what he inspired.
In other words, enough talk about me, let's talk about you. What do you think of me?
I don't know, I was just thinking about me. I can win this debate.
I see.
No, I am thinking about me more than you are.
Oh, man.
Because I am the
can
man.
Can I try again? Can we have a do-over?
I am the man diva. Hey, here we go. I'll be at the Mohegan Sun this weekend. In Uncasville, right?
Uncasville.
Uncasville.
Don't forget the S.
Uncasville. Come on down. Come on up to the, come on up. Up? Yeah, it's up from
up
where
and over.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to come, it's $15. It's a nice big room. I got a couple of reactionary young punks who are going to open for me. My buddy Oz.
Oh, that wasn't Dick Cheney
Jamie.
And George W. Bush. They pulled out?
No, that was a joke.
Oh.
And also, if you have kids, they have a Ben and Jerry's right in the casino up there. So,
Man, my kid's never getting within 10 miles of a casino.
Also, there's been a lot of word out there on the street of tampering. You know, we got a report from Nevada that there were people, an organization, registering voters and throwing away the Democratic registration. So now we've been encouraging people to register to vote, and clearly there are, you know, there's tampering, there are shenanigans, there's bad stuff going on up there. So I want to encourage you, if you did register, actually, to, you know, call and make sure you registered.
Yeah.
You know, if you can. So certainly if you're in Oregon or you're in Nevada where this group has been actually caught registering people and then throwing away registrations, Democratic registrations primarily. If you have any other problems, you can go to 866, call 866-OUR-VOTE. There are lawyers on call in all of the states, you know, ready to, you know, take action on your behalf if you see any sort of questionable activity going on.
And if you say, if you're not sure what precinct you're supposed to vote in or where your polling place is or whether that place has changed, call that same number. They'll be able to tell you, because in some states, if you vote in the wrong place, your vote doesn't count.
And also understand that, you know, if people are cranky and these election people, the people at the election office, if you get people who sound at the end of their rope, it's because they didn't prepare themselves for democracy to actually work. What they were really counting on, like any other, you know, election year, is that about a third of the people would show up. But now this year they're overextended. You know, it doesn't necessarily, if they're mean or they're angry at you, remember, they work for the state, which in most, you know, cases is, you know, they don't get exactly the money that they want, and they're overextended because the state did not provide enough election officials. So be nice to them, and maybe they'll help you out.
They may feel a little overwhelmed,
yeah.
But and it's not entirely their fault. It's the fault of their bosses that didn't prepare for this. They should have known from back in 2000. There's been remarkably, in my judgment, Mark, little correction done to the electoral systems across America, given what happened 4 years ago.
Well, you know, it's to the politicians' advantage if they stifle democracy wherever they can, so they can, you know, more clearly decide and see how they're going to win.
Well, yeah, because they
can't
never
rely on the people.
Exactly. They don't want to know about people whose votes they're not certain about. It's one thing if you're in their camp. It's something else if you're in the enemy's camp. If you're in the middle there somewhere, you're a politician's worst nightmare because they don't know where you're going.
Right. And also, in swing state voter registration, today is the deadline in West Virginia. October 20th is Wisconsin. But you can also register in person on Election Day. I wonder why they have the two dates. I guess they
just in case.
Right. October 23rd, Iowa and New Hampshire. New Hampshire will not accept national voter registration forms. November 2nd is Maine, but you also may, what am I saying? Listen, I'm weeding the front. November 2nd is Election Day.
Yes, so it is.
You can actually vote in Maine up until November 4th. Weird. I don't know why, but I guess.
shouldn't New Hampshire be excommunicated or thrown out of the country for not accepting the national voter registration?
They have their own
ways. National, except for New Hampshire.
They have their own ways out there. Here's some good news. Bush's approval rating is slipping on almost all elements. Nearly two out of three voters call the economy only fair or poor. Plurality. Whoa, man. I already have problems with L's, dude. I can't read plurality.
Plurality.
It says it's getting worse.
Most people say.
Yeah, most people. In September, a plurality said it was getting better. Interesting. So that means that's shifting. The plurality is shifting. Attitudes about Iraq are as negative as they were in May, the previous low point, a time soon after photos of abused Iraqi prisoners had been released and an American contractor beheaded. A 54% majority now says the war wasn't worth it. 54%. So people are sort of waking up to some of the facts that are coming out of Iraq and not buying the president's fictional universe.
Some of our print media is starting to get wise to the to the facts, too, because we're seeing some changes in endorsements from 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You remember some folks mm-hmm. supported Bush back yeah. in the day, and they're not supporting him this time around.
Yeah, like the Portland Oregonian now endorses Kerry because Kerry's long record of public service shows that he possesses a deep, nuanced understanding of the central domestic issues of our time. Bush promised to reach out to unite the country. If anything, he's helped the rifts make the rifts deeper. That may be his real failure as a president. John Kerry can do better. That's from the Portland Oregonian. The Seattle Times also endorses Kerry, and they endorsed Bush in 2000. Their reasons 4 years ago, this page endorsed George W. Bush for president. We cannot do so again because of an ill-conceived war and its aftermath, undisciplined spending, a shrinkage of constitutional rights, and an intrusive social agenda, losing my ability to read slowly. Also, Cat Fancy endorses Kerry. They say, we feel that Bush's policy are anti-Persian and indeed derogatory to Middle Eastern cats in general. We endorse John Kerry for his world-inclusive policies and would gladly lie in his chest and lick his nostrils at 5 in the morning. Bicycling Magazine also, Kerry endorsing, because they say, while we are certainly encouraged that both candidates are cycling enthusiasts, we endorse Senator Kerry, who has proven his ability to remain upright, unlike President Bush, whose complete ineptitude on two wheels is an apt metaphor for his multiple domestic and foreign policy disasters. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution endorses Kerry.
Yes.
Yeah. The St. Louis Post-Dispatch endorses Kerry. Also endorsing Kerry, Detroit Free Press, the Philadelphia Daily News, Philadelphia Inquirer, Arizona Daily Star, and Tucson, The Day.
In New London,
they endorsed Bush in 2000. The Philadelphia Daily News, Portland Press Herald in Maine, the Lone Star Iconoclast in Crawford, Texas, if it's still open, a weekly newspaper that beautifully and poignantly came out in support of John Kerry.
Are you trying to say that their support of Kerry could have gotten them shut down?
What's that?
Are you saying their support of Kerry could have gotten them shut down by, you know, some bushies with ropes in their hands or something?
Yeah, it's just sort of like they could have, the bad guys could have just walked across the street.
Yeah, you're right about that. Is there another Texas newspaper you think that's going to end up endorsing Kerry?
I hope so. I just, apparently the advertisers are boycotting the Crawford Iconoclast.
Really?
Yeah, so, all the little stores in Crawford are like, nope.
Nope, not you. Nope.
So let's evolve this conversation into setting up Ron Suskind, who is a great guest and has written some great books. I read the Paul O'Neill book. It's The Price of Loyalty, which was outside of the economic numbers and the math. It was a great indication of how Bush is sort of insulated and uninterested and sort of committed to his own ignorance.
You know, Ron Suskind got Paul O'Neill to kind of bare his soul in that book, too. I mean, there's an element in that book that really speaks to something that you don't think most bureaucrats do, and that is to really open up and say, hey, this is the way it was.
Well, the interesting thing about Paul O'Neill is that a bureaucrat, perhaps, but, a very intelligent, well-versed man in economics and in business and in, just he has a very broad global picture. And what you really see there is a portrait of an interesting conservative thinker, who was, confronted with a president who was narrow-minded, uneducated, and stubborn and committed to that. And it was really the reason Paul O'Neill, I think, came out and did that book was just to say, look, this guy is anti-thinker. And it's bad. And Ron Suskind's going to, talk more to that after this. It's Air America Radio.
And now, haiku from professional wrestler Mick Foley.
Bushes are quite small. Trees are large and powerful. Kerry is a tree.
This has been Morning Sedition Haiku with Mick Foley.
What if I told you that you could get cash back from your federal student loans? No, really. You can receive up to $1,000 cash rebate just for making your first 6 payments on time. Introducing College Loan Corporation's Reward. Now you can save up to 50% on your monthly payments, lock in the lowest interest rates in history, and you may be able to earn a significant rebate. That's cold hard cash in your pocket. To take advantage of this amazing offer, call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
This is a financial update. The average mortgage rates took a slight dip this week.
Sorry to interrupt, but LendingTree.com is the only place where banks compete over your mortgage. Then you get up to 4 real offers to choose from within minutes. So do better and choose from low rates. Call LendingTree now at 1-800-555-TREE. That's 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win at LendingTree.com. Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions apply. See website for details on licensing.
Are you sick and tired of your bathroom scale dictating your mood? If you're down a pound, great day, but watch out if you're up a pound or two or your clothes are a bit tighter. That is not a good day. If this sounds like you, then step off the scale and into the CortiSlim lifestyle by calling 800-921-BURN. You know CortiSlim people. You run into those CortiSlim show-ups constantly. You hear how great and physically fit they feel and how they're going shopping for new clothes. Well, CortiSlim people have learned that at least part of their weight issues are related to stress and hormones. CortiSlim people don't drive themselves nuts because they've learned the balance of exercise, nutrition, diet, and supplementation. If you're ready, step off the scale and into the CortiSlim lifestyle. Call now and get $20 off when you purchase 2 bottles of CortiSlim. $20 off 2 bottles. That's huge. Call 800-921-BURN. 800-921-BURN. That's 800-921-BURN.
College football, NFL, the Weather Channel, BBC, it's getting late, it's Stephen, the Chiefs at the gate, the Score TV, the Music Rocks, commercial free discovery, MLB and Patriot with left and right to call the shots, Matt's Infection, John McMullen, Laura Ingram, Michael Reagan, Alex Bennett, Frank Perfector, Traffic Savage, Adam Cryer, Randy Rhodes, and NPR, there's comedy and all the stars.
Life is a rock, but the
How is parenting like Major League Baseball? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Pro Baseball starts its playoffs tomorrow. It was a challenging road for all of the teams who made it. You see, Major Leaguers play more than 160 games a year. Parenting has a long season too. Day in and day out, you have to come ready to work. If you get discouraged and feel like you're on a losing streak with your kids, adjust your strategy. We can help. For a free 9-inning parenting coaching plan, visit FamilyMinute.net. Go for the win. And remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. If you'd like to get today's Family Minute offer, visit our website, FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or give us a call at 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Thanks to you, all sorts of everyday products are now being made from the materials you've been recycling. But to keep recycling working, you also need to buy products made from recycled materials. So the next time you're shopping, look for products that say made from recycled materials and buy them. And don't forget to support the recycling effort on November 15th, America Recycles Day. For a free brochure, call 1-800-2-RECYCLE. Again, that's 1-800-2-RECYCLE. A public service message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense.
Hi, I'm Al Franken. Sirius Satellite Radio and Headcount urge you to make a difference. This year, it's more important than ever to wave that flag and let your voice be heard. If you're not registered, go to headcount.org, get serious, and vote.
Hi, I'm Avi Ward with the Dead.
Hi, this is Phil Lesh from the Grateful Dead.
Hi, this is Trey Anastasio reminding you that this year, it's more important than ever to get out and vote.
To register, go to www.headcount.org.
This November, show up and vote.
What was your name again? Barry Johnson.
Yeah.
The U.S. Postal Service wants to remind everyone this year to protect themselves from becoming victims of identity theft. Your personal information is a gold mine for identity thieves. Identity theft is taking key pieces of someone's personal information, such as a name, address, or social security number, in order to impersonate them. For more information, log on to consumer.gov. A message from the U.S. Postal Service.
Hey, 21 past the hour. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Hey,
rambling on.
We are the media.
That's right. We are the media.
Hallelujah.
This morning's edition on Air America Radio. I love AC/DC. Is that wrong? There's nothing wrong with it.
Oh, I thought that was the Geico commercial.
They rock. Three chord geniuses.
Is there such a thing as a... Oh, never mind.
Of course, a three chord genius?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yes, there are actually some such things as one chord geniuses. And it's all a matter in the feeling. It's a matter in the delivery. You know what I'm saying?
Oh.
There's nothing like making a major, you know, intellectual author wait on the phone for me to do a comedy bit and to ramble on about, you know, one core geniuses. I'm sorry, Ron. Let me just do this. This is a presidential schedule. This interests all of us. 4 a.m., debate day. Wake up in Phoenix. Sheets damp with sweat. Note, must score Coke. Must score Coke. Must score Coke. Call Ramon. 5 a.m., Ramon comes. Thank you, Jesus. Note, remember to appoint Ramon ambassador to Ecuador. 5:15 a.m., party! Now I'm the king of the world. Kings don't debate. Lord Kerry, I banish thee to the outer wastelands. May the desert birds pick at your bleached bones. 6 a.m., tie Kerry debate dummy to a chair. Threaten him with lighter. How about a little fire, Scarecrow? 8 a.m., burst into meeting of campaign advisors. Loudly announce intention to someday tap Karen Hughes' ass, yo. And then smack that bad boy. 8:30 a.m., one-on-one with Karl Rove. Accuse him of thinking he's smarter than me. Lunge across table, attempt to bite his ear off. 8:32 a.m., subdued by Secret Service. Breathe. Must remember to breathe. 8:34 a.m. to 1 p.m., sob with head in Condoleezza's lap. Listen to soothing talking points to calm down. 1 p.m. to 6 p.m., stare out hotel window at nothing. Note, people are happy somewhere. What does it matter what I say? Stupid Iraq. Stupid unemployment. Stupid Kerry. 9 p.m., third presidential debate, Arizona State University. Switch on autopilot. Let it happen. I'm not here. 10:50 p.m., participate in debate watch party, Phoenix. Note, spin Karen, spin Carl, spin, spin, spin. Midnight, bedtime, think happy thought. Ah, nothing but boilerplate speeches and attack ads from here on out. And, of course, the surprise. Wow. Man, this article blew me away. On the phone right now from Washington, D.C., he's the best-selling author of The Price of Loyalty, George W. Bush, The White House, and The Education of Paul O'Neill. He wrote the cover story on Bush's faith-based presidency in the upcoming Sunday New York Times Magazine. His book is now in paperback. Man, and we love having him on the show. Ron Suskind, good morning.
Hey, Mark.
Hey.
That is one hell of a schedule. Jeez, oh,
yeah.
Geez.
It's unbelievable what that guy is up to. And now today with the, in the paper, well, I sort of... I'm reading into it, but James Baker's the Antichrist. I don't know if you knew that.
Is that on the net this morning? I've got to pull that down.
No, it's just me. It's, that's how I saw the story. I don't know if I'm a good reporter or not. But
I could be a news lead. I don't know.
It'd be a good news lead, actually. So, Ron, I read your piece, and, you know, the portrait you paint of this guy, and we've all heard it before about his fanaticism, but he has insulated himself. How is this? Do you see it as becoming almost that his inner circle is almost cult-like?
The fact is that this president is the tightest and most exclusionary inner circle and circle around him of any president in modern times. The fact is that with all my stories, you know, I'm not a polemicist, I'm a reporter. Yeah. I have Republicans saying this, including the head of the American Enterprise Institute. This guy, like, runs the faculty lounge for the Republicans for the last decade. He says it is tighter and more essentially silencing of real debate, this circle around the president, than any president he's seen, and he served in Nixon's White House. You know, I think what it means is that the president is, in fact, in what we often call an echo chamber of his own making. This is a dangerous consequence for the leader of the free world who acts in ways that affect everyone's lives.
Ron, there was one part of your piece that really scared the bejesus out of me. You were talking to an aide who was upset with you about a piece you had written on Karen Hughes, and he said, quote, "We're an empire now, and when we act, we create our own reality, and while you're studying that reality, judiciously, as you will, we'll act again, creating other new realities, which you can study too, and that's how things will sort out. We're history's actors, and you, all of you, will be left to just study what we do." Did that scare you?
Yeah, well, it did. It did. It's interesting because when I was told that, I didn't really understand the import of what that aide was telling me. I understand it now. It took a year or two of watching the actions of the administration. And this idea that we create our own reality is, in fact, one that many in the administration embrace. This notion of there is no objective reality. It's all perception. It's all, you know, what can be proven within a news cycle.
But, Ron, wait a minute. Now, Colin Powell, the former chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, a military general, and he's down with this?
I'm not sure if everyone in the building is down with it. I think there are many people who scratch their heads, including many Republicans. You know, the fact is that many of the folks I talk with are Republicans, and they are terrified, many of them, about what would happen if George Bush were to win. One of the things that I think is in the story is a prominent Republican saying there will be a civil war on November 3rd if George Bush is reelected. Republicans, you know, they're Americans. Many of them are prudent public servants. Say this is an audacious and dangerous idea for how to guide the ship of state. This notion that you know, you don't need to worry about competing reality that somehow undercuts sweeping ideology. It's a different kind of government, not one we've had before.
This is King Mark Maron speaking. I want to talk to you after we come back from the break. I want to talk to you about how faith is being used to justify this, you know, this movement of empire, and how he is duping, you know, the delusional public into believing in that and being shameless about what's going on in the world. But we got to take a break. We'll talk to you when we come back.
Okay, man.
All right. Ron Suskind will be joining us when we return. We'll be talking with you on the telephones later in the last half hour of the show. And we've got the liberal agenda coming up all for you here on Air America Radio. This is Al Franken, the host of the Al Franken Show on Air America Radio. For the last 6 months, we've been doing 3 hours a day of cutting-edge radio programming. We've had guests like Bill Clinton, John Kerry, and Strom Thurmond.
Yeah, Pekka, it knows no bigotry.
We've covered events like the handover of power in Iraq. We've explained difficult concepts like the growing national debt using nothing more than an ordinary slide whistle. Now we're presenting our show in a convenient, easy-to-use, one-hour version every night on Sundance Channel. Finally, you'll be able to see what we're talking about. Right, Strom?
Yes, sir. Yippee! How do we all see?
Tune in every night at 11:30 on Sundance Channel for the Al Franken Show. And if you don't get Sundance Channel, go to their website, sundancechannel.com. Al and Sundance Channel. Together again.
In college football, NFL, the Weather Channel, BBC, it's getting late, and Stephen, the G's at the gate, the Score TV, the Music Box, commercial free discovery, MLB, and Patriot, with the right to call the shots, Matt's infection, John McMullen, Laura Ingram, Michael Reagan, Alex Bennett, Frank, the Factor, Traffic, Savage, Hasm, Cryer, Randy Rose, and NPR, there's comedy, and all the stars.
Everybody, I'm Tony Cantillo, your fresh grocer, and today's tip of the day is going to be with one of my favorite of all produce items. All right, I say I got a lot of favorite produce items. By the way, I'm the fresh grocer, so I'm allowed to say that. One of them, just one of them, is going to be on radicchio. Radicchio is great, and I remember one time radicchio was just grown in Italy, and the prices were high. But now, they're mainly grown here in the U.S., and a very few being imported in, which is good for all of us, so the prices are coming down. When selecting radicchio, you want to make sure it's got that dark red, almost a purple color all the way around. And the veins of the radicchio should be nice and white. Check the bottom of the radicchio where it's been cut. You want to make sure it's clear, free from any browning whatsoever. When you bring the radicchio home, store it in the refrigerator right away. Now put them in salads or mix them with just about anything. Radicchio is a wonderful, the flavor is incredible. And I'm Tony Cantillo, your fresh grocer, and this is your tip of the day. Hello, I'm Tony Cantillo. You know, sometimes information on nutrition and health can seem overwhelming. That's why there's the Dole Nutrition News. Twice a month, this electronic newsletter will bring you the very latest in diet and nutrition research, plus recipes, fitness tips, and natural beauty ideas. Best of all, it's absolutely free. How do you get all this information? Simply just go to www.dolenutrition.com. To sign up, it's free, it's easy, and it's loaded with news that you can use to lose weight and look great. Again, that's www.dolenutrition.com.
And we're back. Bob from Scranton, you're on the air.
Hi, Ted. Love the show. Long-time listener. First-time caller.
Thanks, Bob. Is there a special someone out there you'd like to talk about?
There is, Ted. I recently lost a very big part of my life.
You'd been together a long time?
Since college. This is for my belly, my paunch, my spare tire. I know we had some good times. God knows I'll never forget that night in Albuquerque with the burrito.
It's never easy to lose something that's been such a huge part of you, Bob. Where'd the magic go?
Well, I'd recently begun taking the stairs more and more instead of the elevator, and then we started seeing less and less of each other. One day, it was just gone.
Small step number 67. Take the stairs instead of the elevator or escalator. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Your music's always been sacred. The rest of my life was not. First time a guy gave me a shot of dope, I got beat. But a little bit later, I got a good one. That was what I was chasing for many, many years after. I had so many worse days on drugs, I knew I had a problem.
Hey, now this is Dr. John with a message from MAP and a partnership for a drug-free America.
There's a good reason why doctors and dentists are always washing their hands. Soap and hot water remove harmful bacteria, including the bugs that cause food-related illnesses. Keep it clean in the kitchen. Wash hands, utensils, and work surfaces thoroughly before preparing and eating a meal after handling raw poultry, meat, eggs, and seafood. This reminder brought to you by the Partnership for Food Safety Education.
Morning Edition. I'm Mark Maron. King Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Duke Mark Riley.
Okay, right on. You can be king, too. Why can't we have two kings?
I guess
king,
we could.
King Mark and Mark. On the phone is Pulitzer Prize-winning writer Ron Suskind. His book, The Price of Loyalty, George W. Bush, The White House, and the Education of Paul O'Neill, out in paperback. We're talking about his piece coming up in the New York Times on Sunday. Now, Ron, so we've got a president that's committing to a sort of a shadow world, a new reality that he's building. Now, by committing to a reality that is, you know, that really contradicts, you know, reason, morality, international ethics, and it's fueled by him sort of duping, millions of faithful Christian people who believe fanatically in their belief system. Isn't this really, on some level, the core of how fascism is built or totalitarianism?
Well, you know, certainly it is not informed consent as we've tended to know it in America. I think what is important to understand is this sort of connection between faith and power.
Yeah.
The president essentially has been signaling, he and his people, to this rather significant conservative evangelical community in America that he believes that he is essentially a messenger from God, that God is guiding his actions. And this signaling system, as one of the senators in the story talks about, a Republican, is the key to the election. In some ways, he wants to signal to the core, to the base, evangelical base, that yes, indeed, God is guiding me. I am his messenger. But he's afraid of doing that in the swing states. And the idea that that would be at the very center of American democracy at this moment of peril is, of course, bracing, terrifying to many, not just Democrats, but Republicans, too. But more broadly, what you find is a president who moves to this sort of fervent, I am a messenger of God. He is talking directly to me. Sort of a wild-eyed faith, really. At a moment of desperation.
Well, yeah.
When you look at the whole 4 years of George Bush, you find that in the first year we were talking a lot about his basic capabilities. You know, he was in meetings, as Paul O'Neill and others talked about, you know, a blind man in a room full of deaf people. George Bush has been sitting at mahogany tables for 30 years with nothing to contribute. Imagine what it would be like to do that when you're in the Situation Room and you've got to make a decision. That's a terrifying concept.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
And after 9/11, it became essentially untenable.
Yeah.
That he would be, really overwhelmed in these fundamental ways. And that's when he began to turn to faith. That's when he first used the word crusade. That's when he said, you know, my goodness, you know, I go in my gut, I go in my instinct when people ask for basic explanations for why we were doing what we were doing. And ultimately, people have become clear in the administration and beyond it, again, all Republicans that I'm talking with, that this notion of instinct is what he believes God is telling him to do. You know, this is a kind of connection of faith and power and a cult of action. When we talk about the reality thing, it's really a cult of action.
Right, but it's also, he wears two faces, though. He's sort of a cipher, right? He's able to placate these believers, but he also can go into a boardroom of billionaires and do a completely different pitch to them and accommodate them as well. He appropriates the ideology of whoever's necessary to keep him in power.
Well, it's interesting because what several people in the story are saying is, please just tell us if you really believe what it seems as though you believe. So you stay with us.
It's,
you know,
incredible.
I mean, you really believe you're in a conversation with God.
Because if you do, you're crazy.
Just, I mean, they just, you know, yeah. People say, but just be, you know, just be frankly, just be open with us now at this moment, 2-3 weeks before the election. We need to know.
Let's shift gears, Ron.
Not being open about it.
Right.
Now, Ron, put yourself in John Kerry's head for a moment, if you will.
Yeah.
He's debating tonight. Now, we recommended to Terry McAuliffe already, who's on his way out to Arizona, that he get a copy of your piece and share it with the senator. But why wouldn't John Kerry attack him specifically on this whole reality thing? He said now that Bush is kind of operating in a different reality, and you quote an aide as saying that this is a deliberate construct. Can Kerry attack him on this in the debate?
Well, you know, I think it probably would behoove Kerry to read the story, if for no other reason than in a final passage at the end, Bush says to a group of elite sort of inner circle contributors, he says, "I'm going to be real positive while keeping my foot on John Kerry's throat." That's a quote. This is George Bush in his very essence here. He talks about that in terms of what he's going to do in the debates, and essentially that's what he's been doing in the campaign. I'm going to be real positive while I keep my foot on Kerry's throat. You know, the upshot is that Kerry now has to go into this debate, and he needs to, frankly, throw a couple body blows or even a knockout punch, because in the final 2 weeks of the campaign, the Bush machine, as Bush says, again, in this final meeting that I got through notes and through people who talked to me who were in the meeting, Bush is saying, let's get past these debates. He's saying to his core so that we can get back to the campaign, which is one in which the machine, the great Bush political machine, because I'll tell you, it's a clean running engine,
yeah,
is going to kick back into gear for the final few weeks of the campaign. And that is one hell of a machine to beat. Remember, it's not just the man, it's the machine he sits on.
Right.
And the president is sitting on one of the greatest political machines we've seen in America in decades.
Wow. And it's even arguable if you've seen some of the speculation on the internet because of the lump on his back during the debate that he might be a machine. But maybe I know, right?
So I'm standing back on that one, guys.
So Ron, I mean, now as far as, you know, Kerry delivering some punches here, I mean, it really seems to me that outside of this, you know, this strange, you know, kind of Christian based charisma or con man energy that Bush has, he's got nothing to run on domestically.
Well, the fact is that what the real battle here will be between illusion and reality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you look at
my God, it's a mythical battle.
His domestic agenda and his domestic policies over the last 4 years, there is a lot to talk about and a lot for John Kerry to mention. But Bush does a thing that Kerry, frankly, has trouble doing, which is Bush plays confidence, and he plays confidence very, very effectively. You know, I think what we found in that second debate is Bush is a master of the nonverbal communication, of body language. You know, he's very active, he's very forward-leaning, and he says, "I will be positive." The tough thing about John Kerry right now is he's got to mention the Bush agenda. He's got to talk about what's happened, this enormous swing from $5.6 trillion to nearly $3 trillion in debt. You know, unprecedented in American history, unemployment numbers, all the things that we know, without seeming dour and, you know, like a dark oracle.
Yeah.
Bush will play positive. He'll play positive in terms of the future. Now, what's fascinating is that in the story this Sunday, you have Bush actually talking rather triumphantly of what he will do with incredible speed in his second administration. He talks about, right after my inauguration, I'm going to get another Supreme Court justice. He talks about the justice that he's going to get throughout his first term and how we need to move quickly. Fundamental tax reform, change Social Security, this is a man of action.
Right. He's saying that, like, within the first few months of my new administration, I will screw the people that don't have anything.
Well, in the first few months, he says, I'm going to be, frankly, as forceful as I've been in terms of the global landscape. I'm going to do that domestically.
Wow,
I'm
here
to act. The thing that's different about George Bush...
So he's going to destroy everything?
The fact is he makes these sort of sweeping actions, but of course he's terrible with the follow-through. That's the kind of gritty analysis he's never been very strong with. And what we're going to find, I think, in America is enormous changes in the fabric of the country, after election, if George Bush wins.
All right. Well, thanks, Ron. It's always great to talk to you. I just want to say
thanks so much, man.
One thing in parting is that, in the next tonight, watch his jaw, man. I think he's got a Dr. Nick that's shooting him up with something. Watch his jaw.
What is with that jaw?
Don't you remember? Did you ever have any friends that had a cocaine problem? Enough said. Ron Suskind.
Hey, guys, be well.
Okay, you too, man.
Take care, man.
That was Ron Suskind. The book is The Price of Loyalty, George W. Bush, the White House, and the Education of Paul O'Neill is out in paperback, and the New York Times piece will be out on Sunday. We're going to Planet Bush. We want to hear from you, 866-303-2270. I know I said I'd cover some of the debate points. We're hoping to do that. We got to go to Planet Bush. We got to go to you. We got a lot of things to do and very little time left to do it. We'll talk to you in a minute on Air America Radio. I got an idea. Just a reminder, I don't want to pressure you, but you got to do this soon, all right? Register to vote, please. You can do it on morningsedition.com where it says register to vote. Thank you.
The Iraq War has become such a mess that even U.S. soldiers are speaking out against it. Mother Jones reports in its new issue that 54% of military households now oppose the war and that the GI Rights Hotline gets thousands of calls a month from soldiers who want to leave the military. Marine Mike Hoffman started Iraq Veterans Against the War after deciding he'd been lied to by the administration while thousands of soldiers died. Staff Sergeant Jimmy Massey, a Marine since 1992, started speaking out against the bloodshed after his unit killed 30 civilians in 2 days for misunderstanding hand signals at roadblocks. Now back at home, he protests with a sign that says, "I killed innocent civilians for our government." Some soldiers are now fleeing to Canada to seek refugee status. As one military leader critical of the war puts it, the most basic tool a soldier needs on the field is a reason to be there. Unfortunately, this tool was left out of their toolkit, and soldiers are dying for a war they can't support. This has been a Mother Jones Minute.
If you're looking to save big this year on a high-quality steel structure from Allied Steel, call 877-99-STEEL. You still have time to add that much-needed workshop, retail, or church space before winter arrives. And our most popular sizes are priced for quick delivery. Get a 40x60 structure for under $18,000 or a 50x100 for under $32,000. Whatever size you need, Allied Steel will answer all of your questions and explain why our structures are the best and most affordable option. Call Allied Steel at 877-99-STEEL.
Larry King here to tell you I'm getting more from my vitamin C. I'm getting the advanced protection of Ester C. Advanced because Ester C is the only vitamin C with metabolites. Advanced because it's already in a form my body can use. So do what I do and get more from your vitamin C. Take Ester C. ESTER-C. Are you getting advanced protection from your vitamin C?
Look for Ester C and now new Ester E, where fine vitamins are sold.
Baseball and radio, they were like old friends.
Yogi Berra, remembering how back in the 40s he'd listen to hear baseball greats like Joe DiMaggio and Jackie Robinson on the radio.
This is Bill Stern with a call.
Listen, DiMaggio, did you knock this baseball through my window?
Yeah, what about it?
Can you autograph it for me, please?
Here we are in New York. I flew in to see the World Series. We observed 1 minute silence over Cleveland.
Now, Yogi presents his favorite baseball radio shows.
I picked up the ones that remind me of how baseball and radio teamed up.
Weekdays at noon and 8 p.m. Eastern on Sirius Radio Classics 133.
Are you spending more and more time protecting your home? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Bad stuff is invading our homes at warp speed. Pornographic emails, sleazy magazines, and trashy reality TV shows. And my wife and I are spending a lot of time guarding our children's hearts and minds from it. How? First, we do our best not to do things we don't want our kids doing. Second, we educate our children on what they can and cannot watch, read, and listen to, and why. Third, we constantly teach our children to learn to discern what is right and wrong, good and bad, in everything that reaches their eyes and ears. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Stuart, how are those hedges coming, little man?
Dad!
Sorry, you're not little. You're 5. And you're holding a 10-horsepower gas hedge trimmer. I should watch myself, huh? So, fire her up and show those hedges who they're messing with.
But I could get hurt.
Don't focus on the negative. Come on, go get him, killer! Ah, that's the battle cry of the lawn warrior. Now, steady the blade! Where are those hedges?
Dad!
Think of the trimmer as an extension of your arm. Come on, keep that arm away from...
The cat!
Oh, and the neighbor's new car!
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult, so why put them in adult seatbelts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
Dad, make it stop!
Come back here. You can do the neighbor's shrubs after you finish ours.
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Tomorrow, leave home without it. Just once or even twice a week, leave your car parked and get around another way. Try taking mass transit, carpooling, walking, or biking. Not only will you save a lot of money and aggravation, you'll also help to reduce traffic congestion and pollution. So keep it up, because it all adds up to cleaner air. Sponsored by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the EPA.
Record 48 past the hour. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
I care a lot.
Yes, I do too. It's Mark. It's morning's edition. Mark and Mark. King Mark and King Mark. Air America Radio. Since the president is openly operating in a different reality, as we discussed with Ron Suskind, we think it's important that voters know what's happening in his alternate universe. Luckily, we have someone in that world. And once again, joining us now on the phone from Planet Bush is correspondent Lawton Smalls. Good morning, Mr. Smalls.
Good morning, and may my big God bless you, Mark.
Your big God.
The big one. Big God.
So how do you think, how do you think Bush is going to do in this debate tonight?
Well, I think he did great. Clearly a touchdown. Grand slam. Hole in one.
Wait, the debate didn't happen yet, so I don't know how you can say that he did great. It didn't happen.
All right, okay. I'm not going to ride your post-debate spin pony.
No.
I'm off the pony.
No, it's not a post-debate spin. It didn't happen yet.
Hey, I've moved on, okay? I have moved on, and Bush was magnificent. Strong, safe, good job.
Strong, safe, good job. Give me one quote. One quote from the debate if it already happened.
Strong, safe, good job.
No,
I loved it. Okay. All right. Here comes. I loved it when Bush said, "You can run, but you can't hide."
Okay. All right. Even though the debate hasn't happened, he probably will say that. Okay?
Okay.
But it hasn't happened yet.
All right. Well, Bush sounded so strong about the war in Iraq.
Okay, there. See, it's supposed to be about domestic policy.
Mark.
What?
It is domestic policy if you happen to live in Iraq.
Oh my God, this is crazy.
Strong, safe, good job.
This is crazy. Domestic policy is Bush's weak spot. Low employment, skyrocketing gas prices, rising poverty. Bush is going to have a hard time winning on these points. He's going to have a hard time winning.
He did win on those points. He was incredible.
Oh my God. Good job. Look, if you're so convinced, okay, that you've seen the debate already, what was the gist of Bush's argument, my friend?
All right, listen to me carefully. Strong, safe, good job.
It's crazy. So tonight's debate. Was Bush as aggressive as he was in the last debate? It seemed like Bush was going to jump all over that Charlie Gibson.
Yeah.
Was he that aggressive, if you already saw it?
Well, Mark, the president made Bob Schieffer cry.
Oh, my God.
All right, it was not pleasant to watch, but the man clearly had it coming. He asked the president of the United States to comment on his National Guard service. And the president, very calmly, walked over to him and kicked him in the nuts. It was a landmark moment in political discourse. I mean, Bush put the whole issue of his manhood and his courage to rest in one beautiful moment.
I'm so tired of this, man. You're a pathetic brown noser who doesn't believe any of this, do you? You don't believe it, though. Tell me the truth. I can see right through you, Smalls. I can see right through you. You don't believe it. You don't believe it.
Good job.
You're right.
My nose is brown and it smells bad. Don't hurt me, Uncle Fred.
Oh, my God.
I'll be good.
See, I knew it. There's so much.
Smells bad.
There's all this unrecovered abuse. See, why don't you just reach out? Come to the other side. You're in pain. I knew it. I'm so sad for you. I feel bad for you.
Strong.
Good job.
Goodbye.
Unbelievable. The pain that's at the core of that. And then, Jerry in Long Island, how are you?
What's up, Jerry?
Yeah. Hi. How you doing, guys?
Oh, nice to talk to you again. How you been?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. For the presidential debate tonight, there are a few issues that are popular with both Democratic base and also progressive independents like myself that I'd like to see discussed that so far have not been discussed.
Yes.
You know, such as affirmative action and also abridgment of minority voting rights, like in Florida, for instance.
Right.
And also the ban on assault weapons.
Right.
Hasn't come up. And secondly, I'd also like to see the issue of abortion revisited, this time, though, with a greater emphasis on the Roe v. Wade Supreme Court decision and how much Kerry and Bush differ on this.
Yeah, I'd like to see that, too, Jerry. I think that, you know, that some people think that the response he made last time about abortion was pretty clear. I thought it had a good opener and a good closer, but, you know, he...
Yeah, can I just say that question was actually about it was nuanced. It was about the financing, the federal financing of abortion.
Right.
And I'd like to see them get to the meat of the issue on the whole philosophy on how philosophically Kerry and Bush differ on abortion.
I agree with you. I'd like to see that too. Thanks for calling, Jerry.
Thanks for calling, Jerry.
Wants to see some the ban on assault weapons. He'd like to see some discussion about affirmative action,
minority disenfranchisement. These are all very legitimate issues that ought to be discussed in a presidential debate.
Absolutely. But, you know, a lot of what's going to come out is job creation. It's about jobs. It's about the number of jobs that Bush has lost, even though he's saying that he created jobs. He's still in the hole, right?
Yeah.
The gap between rich and poor has never been bigger. The U.S. has the largest income gap between rich and poor of any major nation except for Brazil in South America. You know, borders, as we were talking about before, border safety's in question, port safety's in question.
Yeah.
None of this stuff has been acted on. The borders are still incredibly porous, and 2% of the ports are, you know, 2% of the stuff coming into the country is even looked at.
Is it two or one? One or two.
Either way, I hope that no one's going to call us on that. His environmental record is caca. He rewrites things. He has people within the administration that lobby for corporate polluters.
Yes.
I mean, it's garbage. It's garbage. His educational, what's he doing with education? The No Child Left Behind Act is left
underfunded.
Way behind on funding. You know, he's given the tax cuts to the wealthy again. Kerry wants to give tax breaks to corporations who don't outsource, and also he wants to tax the wealthy a little more to help them do their part.
Yeah, by the way, that doesn't mean taking all of rich people's money. A lot of times when you hear people talk about taxing the rich, the Republicans tend to frame it in the idea, well, they're just trying to foment class warfare. It's all nonsense.
Okay, Barry in Ohio, listening to XM.
Hey, Barry.
Good morning, gentlemen. Listening to Ron Suskind, I was very impressed that he made many salient points. And I was telling your producer that where throughout the day when I can listen to you, two brilliant gentlemen, and Ed Schultz and Randy Rhodes, I mean, the four of you together just bring up the most important points germane to Senator Kerry's platform. And I'm just wondering why he doesn't embrace more of the things that you say. I mean, I'm an informed but not prejudicial and intellectual liberal Democrat, and try to take both sides and digest them. But why doesn't the senator, during these debates, really hit home with a greater emphasis against President Bush on the things that you gentlemen bring up.
Okay, Barry, we'll try and have some comment on that, and I'll be delusionary, and Mark will be informed.
Yeah.
So, Mark, how do you speculate? It seems to me that there is a fault of some of these new Democrats that they try to move towards the center a little too much.
Well, there's been that criticism going back to Bill Clinton. I think that the Democrats are trying to find what works. They want to find something that's going to win the election, and they're up against a guy, and you heard Ron say it. The guy is driving an incredible machine, George W. Bush. It's not going to be easy to in this, and I don't want people to misinterpret, take him out.
You know what they call the machine? You know what they call the Republican campaign machine behind closed doors? The eater of souls. I don't know if you knew that. But the guy is right. I mean, Barry is very right. And as an informed person, and as a liberal person who has a liberal belief system, and also believes in progressive politics, you know, you really want your candidate to be somewhat shameless about things that you in your heart believe that he believes.
Yeah.
But you also forget sometimes that the guy's got to be a politician. He's got to make choices that we don't always agree with. I just hope to God that he's playing it right. You know what I mean? And I hope to God tonight that he hits him good. And I hope that, you know, he comes out, you know, looking like an intellectual, you know, wise, you know, but, you know, deep person who has a lot of humanity and who can guide the country like I believe he can.
Stakes are high.
Yeah. So there's the liberal agenda coming out of the fax machine for the second time today. We lose them. You know, I throw them away. Here's the liberal agenda from the Streisand compound. Write these down. Watch tonight's debate in a bar. Every time Bush says something, loudly smack forehead with palm, shake head, and shout, "Idiot!" Two, rotate bumper stickers on the Saab. Put Carrie Edwards sticker over Free Mumia sticker. Three, question the constitutionality of showing the movie The Ten Commandments. Four, work on an October surprise of your own. Hemp brownies for Kerry campaign workers. Or hash brownies, as we used to call them in the old days. The hemp ones are a little too chewy. You can make rope out of them, though. Chocolate-flavored rope. Five, phrase of the day, just drop it into conversation. Quote, you know why Bush blinks so much, don't you? He has talking points tattooed on his inner eyelids, man. It's the oldest trick in the book, man. Wake up, America! What do we got coming up tomorrow?
Coming up tomorrow... His resume includes a prostitution scandal, a stint as mayor of Cincinnati, and his own TV show. We'll be welcoming Schlockmeister and my personal hero, Jerry Springer, to Morning Sedition tomorrow here on Air America Radio. See you, Myron.
Bye, Mark.